Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight, feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from.
Oh. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday.
Yeah, man, Friday.
And we got all of our regular Friday features coming up. We're going to check in with Vic's Picks as he takes that journey, listening to every single album in the top 100 Rolling Stones albums of all time. We'll find out what he's been listening to this week. Always a lot of fun to hear that. And as Vic tries to improve his musical knowledge by listening to everything and doing research and all kinds of fun stuff. So we'll get back and find out what's going on with Vic's Picks. That's coming up. We have You Big Dummy. That's when we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy of the week. Tom votes, I vote, and then you call in and are the third and deciding vote. First person through at 312-981-7200 gets to vote. We have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And the same holds true for Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this, again, this station 24/7, whenever anybody mentions me or the show. We want to know what they're talking about. So jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday with Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V. We got Luscious Hushes, who's your DJ, and I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki. And you can get your Fly Jam requests, anything soul-related, R&B, all that kind of stuff. We kick off your Friday with a funky note. So any Fly Jam requests, get them in now. Again, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's also the number to jump in here for questions or talk or text or comments. We're going to be talking about the best and most memorable TV and movie dads, and some of the worst, most memorable and worst TV movie dads. Father's Day is this Sunday, so we're celebrating it by getting into some of our favorite and least favorite movie and TV dads. And we'll talk to that, too. We got all our regular features, and then coming up in just a few minutes, Ian Schur is going to join us from CNET. He is an editor-at-large, and he joins us periodically to talk about tech, everything in the tech news. And he's actually at the E3, the electronic entertainment expo, and so he'll give us a call, and we'll jump in live with him, and he'll tell us all the latest in the world of tech. And you can check out cnet.com for all of his stuff there. So he's coming up live. Again, our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page. Best way to do it is go to facebook.com/Nick D Show and like us right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right, let's say hello to the crew here this morning. My producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you, man?
I'm great, Nick. How are you, man?
Good, real good. What do you got going this weekend, anything?
Yeah, so my mom got remarried a couple of months ago. Yeah, a couple of months ago. They did like a private ceremony thing, just her, my stepdad, and a few of their friends on a beach in Florida, because, you know, it's both of their second marriages. They didn't want to do the whole thing, but... Yeah. They decided to have the reception later on. So we're gonna, I'm gonna be heading back to Crystal Lake.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Big old party.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be really great.
Well, yeah, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but you will be missing Attack of the 50-Foot Woman on Svengoolie.
Yeah, I still haven't forgiven my mom for that. I actually asked her yesterday. I said, can we just move this over like a day
don't
or
you
something?
Understand it's Attack of the 50-Foot Woman on Svengoolie? That's the priority.
It's not every day that I get to see Rich Coe's present a classic. But, you know, I decided to relent. I said, okay, Ma, everybody gets one, so
there
this
you
is
go.
Yours.
So that sounds like a great weekend. And congratulations to your mom.
Yeah.
In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Hey, Nick.
How are you, buddy?
Great. Doing great.
Looking forward to after 3:30, we'll do the Vic's Picks.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun. What do you got going for the weekend? Anything?
You know what I'm thinking about doing tonight? Going and seeing some live music.
Ah.
I've never enjoyed live music or concerts. I've only been to a couple in my life. But now I've got this urge to go watch some live music.
Well, sure.
I've been listening to all these albums.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been doing but nonstop listening to music.
Yeah, and the main result has been that I've got this newfound respect for people who create music. I mean, and not just the lead singer, but like every position.
Sure.
So I think we will do that. And then Saturday, Woodstock, my mom's house, we're going to, all the family, all the cousins and everybody getting together with their kids for Father's Day.
Ah, sure.
A little early. And Sunday, probably just go chill out with Jeannie Chicago.
And, well, happy Father's Day to you, Vic.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, very cool. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We're going to go to a movie tomorrow. My folks and I are going to go to a movie. And, of course, we're going to go to the Gale Street Inn afterwards, the greatest restaurant on the planet, where we always go to celebrate things like birthdays and holidays and things like that. So we'll do it on Saturday. We'll celebrate Father's Day on Saturday. We're going to a movie. We're going to go see, my parents and I are going to go see The Dead Don't Die.
Nice.
Together.
Awesome.
Tell your dad happy Father's Day.
I will. Of course I will. Yeah. And it'll be fun. And we always, the Gale Street Inn is the greatest. It's the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Check it out, galestreet.com. When you go there, say hi to George. He's the best. George Carr is who runs the place. Great food, great atmosphere, great people. And the only place to celebrate anything special is the Gale Street Inn. So that's what we'll be doing. Movie and Gale Street Inn. So I've got some interesting news for everybody. Last night, the Illinois Broadcast Association had their annual Silver Dome Radio Awards, broadcast awards. They do radio and television. And I won one. I won a Silver Dome Award this year for Best Radio Personality.
That was Tom, I assume.
That was, yeah.
Nice
was,
work.
I believe that his name's Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
Oh,
Homer,
oh.
That
Simpson.
Was Homer Simpson, yeah.
Congratulations,
thanks,
Dick. That's well-deserved,
well,
and I'm
I
not surprised
it.
One bit.
I appreciate it, man. I wouldn't be able to do it without the people that work with me. And this was from a year ago, so I want to thank Dan Chigrew, who was my producer at the time that this award was not when I was nominated at the time. And so, yeah, this is the fourth one we've won that the show has won. So, but Best Radio Personality, kind of blown away by it. That's a big deal. So I want to thank everybody who listens to the show, and I want to thank the Illinois Broadcast Association for the Silver Dome Award for Best Radio Personality. We also won pretty big as a station. Best News Reporter went to Ryan Burrow.
Also well-deserved.
Absolutely.
I think he's the hardest working guy or person in this newsroom.
He's amazing.
Great.
Best Radio Light Feature was the Renaissance of Chicago's Pullman Neighborhood feature. That's Steve Grzanich and Bennett Wakenight together. They won that award. And then the Best Use of Non-Broadcast Media went to the Mincing Rascals.
Oh.
Which is a really fun podcast that features John Williams, Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, Scott Stannis, Patty Vasquez from time to time, and Elif Garris is the producer of that.
Yeah,
and we won Station of the Year. So WGN One Station of the Year. So there you go. But I'm just really humbled by the whole thing. Silver Dome Award this year for Best Radio Personality went to this show. So that's fantastic. It was fun news to get late. I got it like around 10:30 because they handed out the awards last night and they sent out an email congratulating all the people who won at the station. And I was thrilled to be a part of it. So thank you very much. And there you go. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Ian Schur is going to be with us from CNET.com to talk tech. Right after we take this break. Trans-Europe-Express. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jam Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. All of those coming up. Plus, we're going to talk about Father's Day this weekend, so we're going to talk about the best and worst TV and movie dads. That's coming up as well. Right now, though, we want to check in with Ian Schur, who is an editor-at-large, and he does news with CNET. He writes about mobile devices, social networking, a lot of tech stuff, and he joins us periodically to catch up on all the tech news. And so we're going to welcome. You can check him out. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Schur, S-H-E-R-R. Ian Schur. That's where you can check him out. And let's welcome Ian to the show. Ian, welcome back.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing all right. I'm a little tired from being at this video game conference in Los Angeles. It's the world's largest. It's called E3. Anyone who's a gamer will probably squeal at the idea of this thing, but yeah. I've been here not sleeping for many days now, but it's been quite a show.
The Electronic Entertainment Expo, also known as E3.
Correct.
Yeah, and have you gone to this? This is an annual thing, correct?
It is annual. It's been going on for more than two decades. I think it started in 1994. And this is my 10th myself, so I'm a youngin' compared to a lot of people here.
Yeah.
But it's quite an experience because it's really when the hype machine for all the big video games coming out in the fall starts to build.
Right. And were you there? Did you see Keanu?
I did. I was in the audience when Keanu came out during Microsoft's Xbox event. He was talking about a game that his likeness is in. That is called Cyberpunk 2077. It's a game about kind of a dystopian future. And we don't know much about his character, but we do know it's definitely Keanu. And he came out on stage and someone screamed at him that, you know, you're amazing or you're fabulous or whatever it was. And he screamed back, no, you're fabulous. So it was quite, it was a perfect marriage of personality, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have stars come into E3 and you're like, why are they really here, right? They got a paycheck. But Keanu was a very good match. He had a really good personality, and everyone on stage just loved him.
He's having quite a time. The past few years, it's been very, very, very good Keanu years for
a while. Yeah, I have to say, I think he's starting to make up for The Matrix. I think he might have dug himself out of that hole finally.
Yeah, well, it was fun to see that kind of the footage on television and stuff. Now, what were some of the highlights for you so far at E3? What were some of the best moments?
You know, I think that the most interesting stuff about this year is that it's really, this year is about next year. You know, that we have these new consoles coming from Sony, the PlayStation, and Microsoft, the Xbox. Both of these new consoles are expected to come out next year. So a lot of what we saw this year are things that are actually coming out in 2020. And so we've learned a little bit about the new Xbox, how powerful it'll be, how visually stunning they say all the games will be. We got to see a new version of Halo, which is the game that really launched the Xbox. It's one of the most popular games ever made, right? Space shooting game. So there was a lot of talk about what the future will be. And the other thing that was really fascinating is this idea of game streaming. You know, a lot of us watch Netflix-style videos now, right? We stream our movies from Netflix's internet site. What's happening now is that Microsoft, Electronic Arts, Google, a bunch of others are now investing in the capability to do that with video games. And they're really saying that this may be the future. So eventually we may not even buy these multi-hundred-dollar boxes anymore to put by our TVs. We'll just connect them to the internet, and it'll be really fun. So it's really fascinating seeing this kind of change happening.
What is the Google Stadia? That's one of the, and Microsoft Project X Cloud. Those are kind of what you're talking about, the future of gaming.
Exactly. Stadia, which, by the way, sounds like a weird name, but they say it's the plural of stadium. So you can chew on that one for a while. And then,
I never heard that before in my life. I've said stadiums all my life. And now I have to switch. I have to switch to Stadia suddenly.
Now you have. Well, it's your call. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
Google will. But no. And the reason it's called Stadia, by the way, is that part of the real selling point of this thing is not just that you get to play games over the internet, which is cool, but also that it's going to actually allow you to play with friends. So you're going to be able to send a friend a link, like a YouTube link, and suddenly, boom, they can see you playing the game. They can interact with you. They can do all sorts of stuff. And then if they push a button, boom, they're playing the game themselves. So there's a lot of that type of stuff that they're doing, which, you know, they say it's like everyone's together in the stadium playing together. That's where the name comes from.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and Microsoft's Project X Cloud, what's that all about?
Yeah, so Project X Cloud, it's interesting. So Google is selling Stadia as kind of the future of gaming. They're not selling a box. There is no box. You can just plug in with your computer. You don't even have to buy a controller from them. Microsoft is taking a slightly different view because, you know, they want to sell you an Xbox. So what they're saying is that the X Cloud, which eventually hopefully will have a better name, that they are doing this as kind of the first step toward the future. So what they see it as is that if you're going to play at home, you're going to have an Xbox. And it's going to look amazing. You're going to love it. You're not going to need an internet connection. But when you're out and about, let's say you're traveling or, you know, you're at work and you're bored during lunch hour, you can fire up their xCloud app on your phone or on your tablet or even on your work computer, and boom, you're able to play the game. So they see it as kind of complementary. We'll see how people respond to it. But Google saying basically you don't need a console anymore is kind of throwing a gauntlet down on this idea of even having one.
Yeah. Have they talked about any of the games that are going to be available for either of these services?
Yes. So as I mentioned, Halo is the big one.
Yeah.
There are not actually that many games that have been, you know, confirmed, quote unquote, for the new consoles, but we all know it. So, for example, pretty much all of these games that have been announced for 2020, which includes, for example, you've got the Cyberpunk 2077, which a lot of people are excited about. It comes out in March, but you'll be certainly correct thinking that there's going to be a version of it for the new ones as well. They announced, you know, some other games. Like there's this game, Gears 5. The Gears of War series is one of the more popular space shooters as well, also owned by Microsoft. That will likely run on this device. You know, pretty much everything we've been hearing lately. There's and then when I found was really interesting, if you reach back in your memory to 1997, there was this game that overtook the video game industry by storm. It was called Final Fantasy VII.
Sure.
It was by a company called Square Enix. And again, if you have a gamer in your life, you mention that word, they will absolutely know that title. And that game is being remastered. So it's actually being remade. So it's not that they updated it with new graphics and everything. They actually took the whole game, they threw it out the window, and they took all the characters in the story and they completely remade it, looking with modern look and feel and the way that you play the game. And let me tell you, when they announced that game 5 years ago, the person next to me cried. I kid you not. They broke down in tears over excitement. And the amount of excitement that is at this event for that game is really stunning. It comes out next March, but again, I will bet you pretty heavily that game will also show up on the new devices as well.
Now, has Google or Microsoft talked about the pricing about Stadia or Project X Cloud or anything like that? Because, you know, we were talking about the Apple announcements. Everybody was kind of frustrated that there was the lack of pricing going on.
Correct, and I agree with you. So Google, initially when they announced Stadia in March, did not give us pricing, and I was quite frustrated. But about a week ago, they did give us their pricing, and it's actually really aggressive. So they're going to have two pricing tiers. One is that if you buy a game from them, let's say you buy the next the upcoming game from Ubisoft called Watch Dogs Legion. It's about hackers trying to take back control of London from this evil company and government that's taken over with all this technology and drones. That game is going to be $60 in the store. It'll probably be $60 with Stadia too. If you buy it from Google, you can use Stadia for free. So they're saying basically you don't have to buy anything extra from them. You don't even have to pay extra. Just buy the game. You're home free.
Wow.
xCloud is going to be different. We don't know the pricing on that. So we'll see. But both of them also have subscription services where they're offering for 10 or 15 bucks a month access to a whole library of games. And they say also a couple of extra features. So it's a pretty good bet that somewhere in the middle of all that is where these streaming services will show up. I'm really curious to see how this all goes. Because, again, Google offering it basically for free is throwing down the gauntlet of everyone else. I mean, right now, Sony charges 20 bucks a month for theirs. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Now, what's the response been from the gamers there about these announcements, particularly for Google and Microsoft stuff?
Yeah, when it comes to streaming, you know, the gamers here are rather hardcore gamers, right? They allow actual just gamers, normal people, to join the show. They have to pay a couple $100 for a ticket, but
yeah,
they walk around, and they walk around like me, and they get to see everything, and they have a lot of fun. So those people are a little kind of down on all this. You know, they're looking at all the, they don't like change, and I can't blame them entirely.
Yeah.
One of the biggest criticisms of this technology, other than the fact that people tried to do this 10 years ago and failed, and it kind of soured a lot of people on the proof of the stuff.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that they say, look, you know, if I have Comcast today, or I have Verizon, I have a data cap. You know, I have Comcast at home in San Francisco. If I go over a terabyte of data in a month, I'm going to get charged.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a lot of data that they need to stream for me to be able to play a video game. It's more than watching a movie.
Oh, sure.
So that's the concern that a lot of people have, is that unless Comcast and Verizon and AT&T change their ways and suddenly become super nice to all of us and give us higher data caps for nothing, this is going to be kind of a stressful period if people switch over completely.
Yeah. Well, that's a big detail right there. All right.
Yep.
Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Ian Schur is with us. He is a tech guy, and he talks to us about tech news, and we have a lot more to talk about. He's editor-at-large at CNET.com, so you can check that out as well. We're going to take a quick break here for the news on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning, so that means all the regular Friday features. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. That's all coming up. Father's Day this weekend, so we're going to talk about best and worst TV and movie dads, and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And your Fly Jam requests. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. We're talking tech stuff with Ian Schur, who is editor at large with CNET. And he is at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3. And he's been covering a lot of stuff there. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. Let's talk about, Mythic Quest. It's Always Sunny team is coming to Apple TV Plus. That was another announcement that was made at the E3.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, so there's this French video game company called Ubisoft, and you may know them. They make a game particularly popular called Assassin's Creed. It's a kind of historical fiction game where you get to go back in time and be an assassin.
Yeah, I unfortunately saw the movie.
That is part of the problem.
Yeah.
That movie did not go well.
Right.
I think it might have sunk Michael Fassbender's career for a while, which is sad. I was a Michael Fassbender fan until that movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've got Ubisoft. All of the game companies want to be TV and movie producers because they make games that are very dramatic and they have storylines and they think, let's do more. So this television show that Ubisoft is working on is called Mythic Quest. And they have signed a deal with Apple for the Apple TV Plus, which I will remind you, as we've written on CNET, we don't know the pricing yet, but we will find out in the fall.
Right.
And this is a really interesting, you know, it's a little bit inside baseball. It's about this kind of mercurial game development studio head, and how he thinks he's amazing, and how this game that they created that's taken the world by storm, which is called Mythic Quest, is kind of what their experience of life is, running this video game and working for this crazy person. I'm really curious to see how it'll go because, as someone who remembers when his industry, right, the journalism industry, when HBO did, Newsroom, it kind of didn't play out that well, right? And Aaron Sorkin, who did Newsroom, he's not bad at what he does. He's very good at writing thoughtful and fun television shows, but it did not work out well. And I'm curious whether or not this, a video game, you know, a show about a video game developer could work out. You know, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, it is sometimes, you know, it's funny when you're in a certain, when you have a certain job or you're in a specific business, you look at it when they make movies or television shows about that, you always look at it a little bit differently. Like, you know, like you know, like you see a movie like Talk Radio. You know, someone in my position always looks at it a little bit differently than someone who probably doesn't do that job. Or the TV show News Radio was another one. And it's always funny. So the gamers and the people who work in the gaming industry are going to be probably particularly strict about this one.
Well, yeah, they will. And I think part of the reason that Ubisoft got into it is that they are a company that has a sense of humor. And I think that they see an opportunity to be a little silly about themselves. And I am totally on board with that. It's actually really funny. The CEO of Ubisoft, his name is Yves Guillemot, is actually this very kind of, you know, just easy as go guy I've ever met. He's super calm. He's not mercurial at all. Everyone I've always talked to who worked for him loved him. So it's kind of funny that they did this opposite of his personality for the show. But, you know, the concern I have, I mean, yes, television and movies always get my job wrong as they get your job wrong.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to be interesting is there enough material there to make it compelling for people who don't have our jobs?
Right. Sure. Exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, you can, like, you know, there are a lot of, it's always sunny in Philadelphia. May not be popular with the people who have those jobs, but it is certainly a popular show. So I think that's the real question is, you know, can you make it work? And I'm really curious to see.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I'm a big fan of It's Always Sunny, always have been. I love that show, and I think the guys behind it do a great job with it. So I'd be curious to see how they handle this, you know?
I'm hopeful, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about some other stuff. Like Father's Day, I mentioned Father's Day is coming up, and at CNET.com, you guys put together a list of 14 great Father's Day gifts under $50. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so first off, you do not need to buy socks, although I am a fan of silly socks myself, or ties, or pens. You can actually start getting real stuff. So we have a really good list on CNET. A lot of them actually tend to be stuff that I am, like, a huge fan of. Like, a lot of the portable speakers these days have gotten really good. So there's one called the JBL Clip. It's $40, and it is just as it sounds like. It clips on this stuff. So, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. Walking down the street, sometimes people have a speaker that's just kind of clipped onto their backpack.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. It makes it easy to carry around. If you're camping specifically, it's really cool. And it's tiny, $40. There are other ones out there as well. You know, that we have another one that's $30. That's a little lower quality speaker. Then there are also, if you have someone who's like really wanting to, you know, they're always listening to music or they're always listening to podcasts, we have a good set of wireless headphones that we can recommend that are not the same as Apple's AirPods. You know, those are $150, yeah. But for $45, they're not a bad deal.
Oh, nice.
So that's yeah, exactly. And then probably the last one I'll bring up is a portable charger, which is you can never go wrong with going for a battery pack for your loved one, because people always benefit from a battery pack. So we have one that we're a pretty good fan of. It's $26, and it'll carry you through a couple of charges.
Okay, all right, very cool. So there's some great stuff to go with. Now what is the Roku streaming stick?
Yeah, so this is an interesting device. You know, this is another one of those things that we recommend on the list. By the way, $48. And what you have to think about is that, you know, a lot of us have internet-connected TVs today, right? We have app-enabled TVs, if you have a Samsung or an LG specifically. But a lot of us don't. You know, I bought my HDTV back in 2010 before the internet even knew how to talk to a TV. And so right now, I have a device that sits next to my TV that I plug in. Some people have an Apple TV. Some people have a Roku. Roku is basically a competitor to Apple TV. That's what you want to think about.
Yeah.
So the streaming stick is a very small, cheap version of the Roku. And we actually, at CNET, we've reviewed it. It's one of our favorite devices because it's so small, it's so portable, it's so easy to use, and it's cheap. So we're pretty big fans of it. It works with Netflix, Hulu, PlayStation View, Sling, all the big ones. And we like it. So it's a nice opportunity as well if you have a older television.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I ended up my TV that I had since 2009 just incinerated one morning. I turned it on and poof, and smoke came out, and that wonderful electronic burning smell.
Oh, those are always the best.
Yeah, and so I went out and I got a new TV, and I got a Roku. I ended up getting a Roku TV, and it's great.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. But I love that idea that, you know, people can just get this device, hook it up, and they too have now they have a Roku TV. That's a really great idea, and $48 is a really great price.
Yeah, no, and that's why we're a big fan of it. And look, you know, it's not the same as Apple TV. There's a lot of features that are missing, but a lot of people don't care. And I have friends who, some of them have both. Some of them will travel, and they want to have, you know, they want to make sure that they have all of their Netflix and everything signed in, so they just carry the streaming stick with you. You know, there's a lot of options out there that this makes life easier with.
Okay. All right. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yep.
All right. Ian Schur is with us. We got more tech stuff to talk about, and he is at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is E3, covering all the video games and other great stuff as part of his work at CNET. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more tech talk with Ian Schur right here on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Friday morning drive. All the regular Friday features are coming up, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spy, You Big Dummy, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. So get the requests in at 312-981-7200. Let's get back to our conversation with Ian Schur, who's editor-at-large with CNET, CNET.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ian Schur, S-H-E-R-R. And we're talking tech. Let's welcome Ian back. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. So Apple is killing iTunes, and I know a lot of people have questions, and you guys have a very extensive piece answering pretty much any question that you would have about and concern that you would have about them ending iTunes. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that that people have complained about who are Apple users, and you may have someone like this in your own family, is that that when they use iTunes these days, it is a mess, and it's very hard to use. And you plug in your phone, suddenly you don't know where it went. If you're trying to find your music and you didn't push the right button, suddenly you're in the movies. It's really confusing. And, you know, part of the reason for this is that iTunes is a 20-year-old program. It came out in 2001, so it's almost 20.
Wow.
And it was originally, you know, designed to allow you to rip your CDs and turn them into playlists and then burn them, and that was a huge thing. Then the iPod came out, and it was a thing to sync your iPod. You remember those days?
Yeah.
And then it became a podcast place, and then it started doing videos. It was one of the first places to buy movies over the internet. And then it just did all, and then the App Store and managing your iPhone, and I'm getting exhausted just thinking about all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they said is that, look, you know, we realize it's become too much. It's just, it does too many things, and it's hard to use, and it doesn't make sense anymore. So they had a kind of, you know, a goodbye to iTunes a couple weeks ago in a public event. And then they said, what we're going to do is split them up. So now, just like you have on an iPad or an iPhone, there's a music app, there's a movies app, and there's a podcast app. And that's exactly what's going to happen with iTunes. It's just going to be split into three different apps. There won't be anything called, quote-unquote, iTunes anymore. But that is the future, they say. And it's worth noting, if you have a Windows PC and you're using iTunes, you will still be able to use iTunes. Don't worry. But for all the Apple users out there, of which there is a growing number every year, they're not going to have iTunes anymore.
Ah, okay. Now, so people are probably concerned about what's going to happen to my music and all that other stuff.
Yep.
But give us a little details on that so people can be reassured that everything's going to be all right.
It's super easy. All of your stuff is just where you think it is. If you want to listen to your music, guess what? Bam! Hit your music app. All the music's still there. Hit your you want to listen to a podcast? You hit that. All your podcasts are still there. Nothing really changes. It's just, instead of having all these different functions from iTunes, you have to learn and click and all that stuff, now they're just different apps. That's literally the difference. So you'll still be able to buy your music, you'll still be able to look at your movies, all that stuff. One big change that they're going to make is that if you still sync your iPhone, you're going to now do that from the computer itself, not from one of the apps. So you'll have to learn a little bit of that. Fortunately, Apple has those nice people who will teach you for free at the stores if you want to. But, you know, and we'll have obviously explainer videos on CNET when we get the chance to review the software and show you how it works. But in the meantime, what Apple showed us, it seems like it's pretty easy and may even be easier than it was before they made the switch. So I'm hopeful.
About the pricing on this, Apple Music, how is it different than iTunes?
It's the same. I mean, that's the thing. All of this, so iTunes app is free. to manage all of your music, and it'll still be free under this new system. There is the subscription service called Apple Music, which competes with Spotify and all that stuff. It's going to be the same pricing it was before, so none of that really changes. What I am curious about is that when Apple TV Plus comes out, Apple Arcade, all these things that we don't know the pricing for, have I mentioned that I'm annoyed by that? a lot of people are rumoring that somehow they're going to tie these things together. So imagine, for example, you have a subscription, and right now a couple of people do this, Hulu or Spotify. If you have a subscription to Spotify, you get free access to Hulu. If you have at Xbox, if you pay a subscription for the Xbox Games Pass, which gives you access to 100 some odd games a month, and then also their social network called Xbox Live Gold, if you subscribe to both of them, you get it cheaper for the two of them together instead of paying for them separately. So I think Apple is probably going to do something similar, although reading the tea leaves from that company is always going to be an exercise in frustration. But there's a lot of rumors that that's what they're going to do.
Okay. All right. Well, and again, this this piece that you can read about with all the questions that you could possibly have about iTunes going away, again, is at CNET.com. And you should check it out and read it, because it's very comprehensive, as is everything on CNET. So check out CNET.com. So this weekend is Father's Day. As we talked about some of the cheaper gifts that you can get for the man in your life who's a father and all that stuff. But you guys did a fun thing. You guys had the Father's Day picks for best sci-fi and fantasy dads.
Yeah,
tell us about the results of that.
Yeah, so we actually have a very robust culture team at CNET. We cover movies, we do movie reviews, we do all sorts of stuff, and we actually interview a lot of celebrities who go on CNET magazine. So we decided to have a poll inside the office. I participated in an email poll, and what we did is that we found the best dad. So obviously, you have to start because Avengers Endgame came out. It was a huge deal. We found out that Tony Stark became a father. Sorry for the spoilers. I think it's okay now.
Yeah.
So Tony Stark is our number one dad. After that, Jim Hopper. I don't know if you watch Stranger Things.
I do.
If you don't, one of my favorite things about Stranger Things is that Netflix said once that it is one of the most popular shows it has ever put out, because it hits the sweet spot of everything everyone loves. It's nostalgic because it happens in the 80s. It's got sci-fi, but not too much. It's got a cute story. Everyone loves that, right? Like, all of these lovable characters, just, it's great. So Jim Hopper is the dad in Stranger Things. And actually, the funny part is he's not even a dad. He's actually just the police chief, and he ends up kind of adopting one of the kids. And it's just unbelievably adorable. David Harbour, by the way, the guy who plays Jim Hopper, is a really great guy. We did an interview with him at CNET. He was really nice.
Yeah.
We had him unbox a couple of things. He had a lot of fun. Then after that, you've got, obviously, Woody from Toy Story. Again, not a father, but he's a leader of all the toys. And Toy Story 4 is coming out in the summer, so you can see where we're going with a lot of this.
Yeah, Woody also was like a surrogate father to Andy. When he was a little kid, too, yeah.
Exactly, right? Or a best friend. It's a little guy you want to play it.
Yeah.
And then, for some people where the wounds might be a little too fresh, I do want to bring up Ned Stark from Game of Thrones. the first season, oh my gosh. But yeah, so he's definitely what we call our honorable till death dad.
Right.
yeah, and then Captain Dad. I don't know how many people are Star Trek fans, but Benjamin Sisko was quite a character in Star Trek, and particularly not only was he the first black captain that we had on television for a Star Trek series, but he was also just an amazing actor. He was so different from Kirk and Picard and Janeway, but he was just such an amazing character. So if you were a fan of Star Trek and you don't remember, there's actually a great video we linked to of Sisko yelling at people. he's just really good at it. So I would highly recommend
Avery Brooks, by the way, terrific actor. Really
good. My gosh, yeah. He's just so good. And then, by the way, my favorite Avery Brooks thing, he did a series of commercials for IBM about the future, and my favorite one was that he complained. This was back in, 2000, right at the turn of millennium, and he did this. Go to YouTube and type it in, Avery Brooks, IBM flying cars, where he complains for a minute about where are his flying cars.
Yeah.
He was promised flying cars, and they haven't happened. Why doesn't he have flying cars? It's just really cute.
That's great.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his. And then, obviously, you've got Butler Dad, Alfred Pennyworth from Batman, and then Surrogate Dad, Adam West, right? The Batman from the 70s, in the 60s, the campy version. All of us love Adam West. And so, yeah, that's a good kind of overview. We actually have a few more dads on there if you want to find out, but those are the ones that stuck out to me.
Those are the ones that stick out. Of course, I mean, again, Obi-Wan Kenobi is also on this list, too.
Who never became a father, but he was as close as you can get, and I think he was maybe a better father than
Than his real father. He was a better father than his real father, really. and to close it all out, you guys did a survey. People did a survey that people are spending less time on Facebook. How much less time, and why?
Yeah, so this is a really fascinating survey. It came from eMarketer, which is one of those people who kind of studies the industry. And they found that people were spending 38 minutes each day on Facebook on average last year. This is U.S. adults, by the way.
Yeah.
And that is down 3 minutes from 41 minutes in 2017. Now, you may think, well, 3 minutes, who cares? Well, first off, that's a lot of money that Facebook is losing because you're not scrolling through the app and seeing a few more ads. That's the first thing.
Right.
The second thing is that we are all looking and, you know, with real interest in what is the fallout for all of the corporate malfeasance and screw-ups that they have had over the last couple of years. And every data point so far has shown that most people just don't care. People are still using Facebook. It's growing the number of users it has. It was really interesting to see this. And a lot of people have told me who work in this industry, they say, well, you got to keep in mind, advertisers change their plans every 18 months. And we're just getting past the one-year mark of Cambridge Analytica. So I'm curious to see how Facebook's world is going to change in the next year or so.
Yeah.
With not only that, but the FTC fine that's coming down, Congress threatening to regulate them, never mind all the other governments around the world. So that's part of why this data matters. It's not so much, oh, Facebook lost 3 minutes of our time. Whatever. It's about what does this mean about how we feel about Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. It's specifically space Facebook, right? Or I mean, Instagram. Those things they're not really slowing down as well, are they?
No, Instagram's actually growing, right?
Yeah.
Which ironically is owned by Facebook. So
yeah,
at least
of course.
They've got another ship.
Yeah.
So you know, Instagram actually gained. They went from 22 minutes in 2016, 25 minutes in 2017, and 26 minutes last year.
Wow.
So they're growing. It's also worth noting, poor Snapchat, they've been struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these things shake out. And, you know, again, what really matters is not just the one-year change. It's really what's the trend? How are people going? And so we're seeing Instagram's trending up. Facebook's starting to trend a little down. And, look, at least Mark Zuckerberg owns both of them. For him, he'll
right.
be happy. He'll make his money.
He's...
But it reminds you why you've got Elizabeth Warren and all of these other people running for president saying, hey, maybe it's time to break up this company because even if we punish it, they still end up winning. And that doesn't sound right to her. So it's an interesting thing going
on. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ian, always a pleasure to talk to you. Editor-at-large, CNET.com. You can check him out there. And we'll talk to you soon. And enjoy yourself again at E3.
I will, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Ian. Take care. There you go.
Ian
Schur, everybody, from CNET, doing our tech talk here. And we'll talk to him again in a little while. All right, let's take a quick break here for the news on 720 WGN. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Yeah, man. There you go. This song back in the 70s was on every 14 seconds on the radio. Harry Chapin. Cats in the Cradle. And the reason why Tom chose to play that is because Father's Day is on Sunday. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And happy Father's Day to my father, who you will hear on Monday, after Father's Day, telling a joke every Monday morning. So we thought we would get into the best and worst TV and movie dads. It's always a lot of fun to do this. And so we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200, if you would like to jump in here. So what was the first one that you thought, let's go best movie dad. What's the first thing that popped into your head?
honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan. Great movie, Dad.
Uh-huh.
Both in stuff like when he, you know, when he's in Patriot Games. And I'll also say when he played the president in Air Force One. Oh. He's like the dad of the country, saving everybody from...
I hated that movie so much.
You don't like Air Force One?
No, I can't stand it.
It's so, all
get
right.
Get off my plane. Shut up. Gary Oldman, ridiculous in it. Who's that? Wolfgang Petersen, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. You know, the thing I always say when I talk about Harrison Ford is that, you know, never marry Harrison Ford because you're either going to get killed or you're going to get kidnapped. That's because every Harrison Ford wife, something happens to him. Even girlfriends, Karen Allen, you know, you can't even date. You can't marry Harrison Ford if you're in a movie. Something bad's going to happen, including in the Jack Ryan movie.
Yep. There's going to be IRA terrorists.
Yeah, and in Air Force One.
Yeah,
there's another one. So he doesn't do well with the wives. Harrison Ford. Well, the first movie father that I thought of is actually, you know, I mean it's an obvious one. It's Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird, which is the first one. And I think a lot of people out there when they think of, you know, great movie dads, Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird probably pops up. What do you guys think? TV and movies, best and worst dads, most memorable. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talk or text. So let's see. Atticus Finch is mentioned in this article on yardbarker.com. Atticus Finch is one of the most moral men in film history. From an early age, his children, Scout and Jem, were instilled with important values like the need to treat people fairly, the importance of turning the other cheek, and that one should stand up for what they believe. But these aren't just spoken by Atticus. He repeatedly led by example in his job as defense attorney representing the very unpopular but likely innocent client Tom Robinson. In the end, although everything didn't work out according to plan, Atticus was rewarded for his morality and showed exactly what a role model should look like. That's the first movie dad that pops into my head. It's such a great movie. Great book, obviously. Fantastic. Great. They did a great job. I mean, obviously, it's a classic. It's a classic book. But they did a great job with the movie. And I mean, that's the thing about, and Gregory Peck is always going to be associated with that role. You know, of all the roles that Gregory Peck has played, I think that's the one that he is most, obviously most remembered for. And he's played a lot of, and Damien's dad.
Yeah, I was going to say. Damien's
dad. Yeah.
You know, I got to throw in John Cassavetes in Rosemary Baby.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Bad. That's a bad,
bad
dad.
Bad dad. Yeah, that's bad, clearly bad dad. A bad dad. Yeah. We'll get into that. We want to mix it up. TV, movies, bad, good, dads. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Here's Julie on WGN. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Robert Young, Father Knows
of
Best.
Of course.
There was nobody better.
Of course. Legendary. You know, back in those days, like in the 50s and the 60s, TV dads were so iconic, you know, and they had value and they were really good. They were good. And Robert Young was one of the best.
Oh, and their kids had such respect for them. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was. Different time, huh, Julie?
Yes, it was.
Have a good morning.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. By the way, I want to thank everybody for all the congratulations that I've been getting. For those people who might not know, I'm humbled. I won the Silver Dome Illinois Broadcasters Award last night for best radio personality, which is insane, which is really insane. And I want to thank all the people who have been congratulating me on that, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. And, that was a big deal. It was a lot of fun. It happened last night. WGN won multiple awards, including... Station of the Year. So I was just thrilled, and I want to thank everybody for all the congratulations that I've been getting, so I appreciate that. All right, we're getting back to dads. Movie, TV dads, good, bad, 312-981-7200. Here's Mark the Bread Man. Hey, Mark.
Morning, Nick. And first off, congratulations on your award.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, my vote would be Sean Connery in The Last Crusade as the older Dr. Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in, I don't even know how many years. Is there something like, don't call me Junior? Isn't that one of the lines in the movie?
Yeah, he says that many times.
He does. Okay.
And that he named Indiana, or he named him after the dog.
Right. And then in real life, that's where it came from, too, because George Lucas had a dog named Indiana.
Correct.
And that's where they got it from. All right, Mark, say hi to your wife for me, okay, buddy?
Thank you, sir.
All right, see ya. Mark is married to the woman who was one of the stage managers on Among the Dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's really great. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Now, here's a weird one. Over here at Yard Barker, they pick Bob Ivanovich from My Life, the Michael Keaton movie that about seven people saw. Did you ever see My Life?
No. I've never even heard of it.
Michael Keaton is dying of cancer, and he decides that, and if I'm not mistaken, his wife is pregnant at the time. And so he videotapes a whole bunch of stuff for his son to watch after he's passed away, like how to shave and all that kind of, you know, like all the advice that he would give the kid had he been alive. When Michael Keaton's character is diagnosed with terminal cancer during his wife's pregnancy, he refuses to let the universe take away his fatherly responsibilities. Instead, Bob made videotape after videotape so he can not only teach his future son to do things like play basketball, cook, shave, and drive, but also so his son would get to see his father. See who his father was. It was a good thing, too, because Bob Ivanovich, that character is one of a kind. I'm trying to remember who directed that movie. Can you look that one up? My Life, 1993. Michael Keaton. And I can't remember who his wife was in it. It's
Bruce Joel Rubin.
Oh, Bruce Joel Rubin, Mr. The writer of Ghost.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the writer of Ghost and the writer of Jacob's Ladder. He likes to write movies about people who are dead or dying.
Lest we forget... Deep Impact.
Another movie about people who are going to die. Bruce Joel Rubin. I guess that was his first movie as a director, because I think he was just a writer before that. I think his credits were just as a writer. Who played the wife in My Life?
Let's see here. The wife in My Life.
Yeah, the female lead. I think it was Gina Davis. No, it wasn't Gina Davis. It was a pretty big name.
Nicole Kidman.
It was Nicole Kidman, okay. So that's My Life from 1993. I have not seen it since... then. So I haven't seen it in 26 years. I remember not thinking it was that great.
No.
Yeah. And I obviously I love Michael Keaton. All right, how about this? Brian Mills from Taken.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's from Tooken. When you really think about it, Brian Mills, who played by Liam Neeson, probably gets into a bit too much trouble to be considered a good dad, but hey, the guy still knows how to get things done. Like tracking down his daughter from halfway around the world and dangerously rescuing her while killing about 32 different people in the process. Hallmark probably doesn't make a Father's Day card for that one.
No.
That was one of those movies that surprised the hell out of me. Because originally Taken was going to go straight to video. They weren't even going to give it a theatrical release. And I remember seeing the trailers for it and reading about it. I'm like, what the hell is Liam Neeson? What is this? And then it turned out to be phenomenal. The sequels, not so much.
I own all three.
The second and the third, no. The second one, kind of passable. The third one is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's where they bump off Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's a great movie to show your kids because it definitely reinforces the idea. Like, oh, you got to listen to dad. Because he tells his daughter, here's what you have to do. Don't do this. Don't do that. And she's like, well, I want to follow you two on concert.
Yeah.
One, what, even in 2009?
Yeah.
2008?
Yeah, eight.
What like, teenager is following you two on concert through Europe?
Oh, I think a lot.
I don't know.
I think a lot. But a frequent contributor to this show, he's not a teenager, but Colin Suter follows you two around.
But was he a teenager in 2008?
No, he wasn't.
That's all I'm saying is that that's an odd band for like a 17-year-old to be following around Europe in 2008. But nonetheless, it's a great movie if you want to scare your kids into submission.
Well, you know, it was just like it was such a surprise. Like I said, it was such a surprise. I expected nothing, and it was weird because at that time Liam Neeson wasn't known as an action star. You know, by any stretch of the imagination, he was Michael Collins. He was Oscar Schindler. He had done a couple of action things here and there, but he wasn't known as like a badass, you know, taekwondo fighting throat punching maniac. You know, he wouldn't be the first guy that I would cast in a movie like that. But man, he's great in it. And it's a really, really terrific movie. So, yeah. Liam Neeson's from Tooken. All right, good father, great father, Liam Neeson, Taken. Does anything he possibly can to rescue his daughter. So what do you guys think? Best, worst, most memorable TV and movie dads? 312-981-7200.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down.
Yeah. I love that song. I love Cat Stevens, man. I love Cat Stevens.
I really have always wanted a cat because my parents were allergic, but I'm not. And I always wanted to name him Steven. So he'd be Cat Steven.
Yeah. Well, it's plural, so you have to name him Stevens.
All right, he can be Stevens.
Yeah.
He'll be Cat Stevens.
There you go. And at some point, he's going to want to change his name to Yusuf Islam. I just want to let you know that that's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm a big Cat Stevens fan. That's a beautiful song. Father's Day this Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We are talking about some great fathers and bad fathers in TV and movies. Great, good, memorable, terrible, awful, that kind of stuff, too. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. Phone lines, text lines are open. We got some text coming in, and let's talk to John here on WGN. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Nick. Good to hear you on the radio, man.
Thank you.
Keeping my night moving very quickly here.
All right.
I got Nick Cage from Con Air with the teddy bear or the rabbit or whatever the crap it was.
Right. Right. He played Cameron Poe in that movie.
Best mullet ever.
What? Just put the bunny down?
Yeah.
Put the bunny down. Yeah. All right, John. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, have a good one. 312-981-7200. That's a character is mentioned here in the article I got in front of me from yardbarker.com. A paroled murderer might not seem like the best father figure, but keep in mind that Cameron Poe, played by Nicolas Cage, was only sent to jail after standing up for his pregnant wife. All of those heroics on the plane, this was all because he wanted to be able to see his woman again and meet his daughter for the first time. In the end, he even managed to save his stuffed animal gift, although its condition was questionable. Yeah, the thing about Con Air is that it is one of the most ridiculous movies ever made, and yet it's pretty entertaining. I will admit, I wasn't entertained by it, but it's a really stupid movie. But it's got like a lot of. It's got like a lot of really good character actors in it. It's loaded with great character actors, but it is, it is a pretty stupid movie, but stupid but enjoyable nonetheless. So Glenn in Evanston says one of the worst movie dads, LOL, has to be Darth Vader. Yes, well, I think we're going to get to Darth Vader at some point. Steve Martin in Father of the Bride, 847 area code, votes for that. They made two of those, if I'm not mistaken. Second one wasn't good. First one was pretty entertaining. Remake. 301 area code. Dennis Quaid is Jim Caviezel's father in Frequency. That's a movie that I really like. People run hot and cold on that movie. But I really enjoy Frequency. I think the concept is really kind of goofy, but fun. But and I'm a big Dennis Quaid. I mean, I'm a huge Dennis Quaid fan, and I really like him in that movie. Yeah, I thought Frequency was really good. 301 area code says Tom Bosley in Happy Days, classic TV father, Mr. C, Howard Cunningham. And then Hugh Beaumont on Leave It to Beaver. Yes, pretty much like Robert Young, we mentioned a little bit earlier, Father Knows Best. In that time period on those TV shows, the father was always like this moralistic, wonderful guy. And the same holds true with Howard Cunningham in Happy Days, both classic. 773 area code says, congrats. Thank you very much. Super bad dad was Rodney Dangerfield in Natural Born Killers. Yeah, the less we speak about that movie, the better. I guess it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Here's Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Hey, congrats, mate.
Thank you. You're
well deserved.
Thank you, buddy.
And a bunch of my friends who follow you who are in Australia, they called me up and they said, hey, great, mate.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, so, man. I appreciate
And do me a favor and say happy Father's Day to your father, because without him, we wouldn't have you.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, but real quick, Mr. Mom.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Mr. I mean, there's your. I mean, there's so many great lines in that movie. It's you know,
yeah.
220, 221.
Whatever,
I mean,
what, yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just a great, yeah. great kind of flick.
Yeah, one of the first, right. one of the first big successful movies that John Hughes wrote.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. John Hughes wrote that movie, and it was one of the first. He didn't direct it, but it was one of the first really successful screenplays that he wrote. So very
well,
cool. All right,
learn something new every day. Have
right,
a great evening,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. There you go. He also that same year, that same summer, that Mr. Mom came out, he wrote Vacation, and that came out same summer. And then the following summer, 1984. So he had those two huge script. He didn't direct them. Harold Ramis directed Vacation, and Stan Dragotti directed Mr. Mom. But Hughes had those two, and that gave him. The leverage to tell Universal that he wanted to direct his next screenplay, which was 16 Candles. And then that became the first movie that he directed. And then he directed, you know, every 6 months he had a new movie out for a while. So. All right. Chris Gardner in The Pursuit of Happiness. Played by Will Smith. He had trouble finding work enough to food to eat and shelter for himself and his young son, but he never gave up and never lost sight of his goal to be a good provider. And in the process, he set a solid example of how a father should act. I hated that movie.
Oh, you didn't like The Pursuit of Happiness?
I don't like any Will Smith movies, except for Men in Black, and that's it. I have a guilty pleasure for I Am Legend.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it was interesting. Colin and Eric and I one morning, when one of his later movies opened up, we were trying to actually count how many good Will Smith movies there were, and we had a lot of fingers left. When we were trying to figure out how many good Will Smith movies. 6 Degrees of Separation is another one. So there's three.
I got one thing to say to you, Nick.
Mm.
Welcome to Earth.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's really horrendous. I hate that movie. But yeah, I mean, I didn't like Pursuit of Happiness at all. And I will say this. I want to temper that because Stephen Conrad wrote it. And Stephen Conrad currently is writing and directing and created one of the most creative shows on TV, one of the funniest and weirdest, and that's Perpetual Grace Limited, starring my future ex-wife, the lovely Dana DiLorenzo. That show is so great. And I've loved a lot of the stuff that Stephen Conrad has done before, and I've had him on the show. I just don't mention Pursuit of Happiness when I have him on. But that was one of those, you know, as far as I can tell, I can't speak for him, but it seems to me like that was just a paying gig. Because when he writes his own stuff, because that's an adaptation. When he writes his own stuff.
Wait, what did he adapt for Independence Day?
No, not Independence
Day. Oh, sorry, Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a book or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Independence Day. No, it was. Yeah, that was a novel. That was a historic novel, Independence Day. Come on.
Written by Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, it was written by Hemingway. I had to read that in high school. I remember doing a report on the book Independence Day for high school. All right, let's take a break. The news is coming up, and the phone lines are open. The text lines are wide open at 312-981-7200. We do this annually, having a lot of fun. Father's Day is Sunday, so we're talking about the best, the worst, the most memorable TV and movie dads. Song rules.
Except
yeah.
for the Kelly Osbourne version.
Yeah, Kelly. I love Kelly Osbourne, though.
I know, but that was was a rough moment for her.
Well, you know, the version that she did of Changes with her dad is fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, it's
fantastic. She came into her own there.
Yeah, I love her, man. I've always been a huge fan of Kelly Osbourne. I just think she's great, and she's adorable. So I like Jack too. Hell, I like the whole family.
Yeah, I can't remember what Jack's doing now, but I think I remember it being something really weird. Like he might be in adult films, not like starring in them, but like financing them.
He went through an illness.
He did.
I can't remember what it was, but he did. He was sick for a while, and then he got a little bit better. I know that he had a reality show where he was like climbing mountains and jumping out of planes and doing stuff like that. But Yeah. It's Nick DiGilio, by the way. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here here till 5 o'clock. All the regular Friday features will be coming up. It is Friday, so we got Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in. Luscious Hushes will play them. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll get funky a little later on. All the regular features will begin right after the 3:30 news, and we'll start with Vic's Picks. Vic is going on a musical journey, learning about music and listening to all top 100 Rolling Stone records of all time. And we'll get into that. We also have Straight Out of Context, You Big Dummy, and, of course, Nick D's Show Spies. All that coming up on your Friday morning. But right now we are talking about Father's Day is Sunday, and we do this annually. We love to talk about the best, the worst, the most memorable TV and movie dads, entertainment dads. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Hi. Hey, thanks for playing Chumbawamba last night. I really am. I'm into very obscure music from all the decades.
All right.
That group is one of them, I guess. Well, on the dad, on the dads, ordinary people, I was, we don't have pay TV, so it was on the movie channel. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. It's
Ordinary People?
Yeah. And I heard it on the movie channel. And I was quite impressed with the way the dad, Donald Sutherland, I was told.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland in Ordinary People. Fantastic choice. And I think Ordinary People is a great movie. I really do. And particularly Donald Sutherland. And he plays Timothy Hutton's dad. And he's a great dad. And the thing about Ordinary People, which is a movie that I really, really love, Donald Sutherland gives the best performance in that movie. I've talked about this before. I've mentioned this before on the air. Everybody, got nominated. Judd Hirsch got nominated. Timothy Hutton got nominated and won Best Supporting Actor. Mary Tyler Moore got nominated. Donald Sutherland did not get nominated. And the best performance in Ordinary People is absolutely Donald Sutherland's performance. And it's a performance that should have been nominated. I can't, here's the thing. Donald Sutherland in general. Donald Sutherland has never been nominated for an Academy Award, ever. And that's a crime. It's an absolute crime, especially for Ordinary People, because he's so great in that movie. But anyway, great choice, David. Thanks for calling. And I appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Here's Doc on WGN. Hey, Doc.
Hey, another fine category. Hey, Mr. Personality, congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Personality. Thank you.
I'm sure you appreciate all the little people you walked on to get this, to get your award.
Thanks, Doug. Hey,
I got
I appreciate
a bunch
that.
Of these. I'll go through them real quick. But you mentioned Gary Oldham. He's in a movie with Dennis Hopper and Christian Slater, True Romance.
Yeah.
Where Dennis Hopper's a fine father. He gets himself killed for his son.
Yeah, he does.
And then, just so you'll hear the name tonight, Matthew McConaughey and White Boy Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have a subgenre of the crazy, unconventional, mentally challenged dad. You know, your life will not be uninteresting, and their kids will feel no less love. But you have Sean Penn in I Am Sam, Ben Foster in Leave No Trace.
Right.
Then a little bit farther on the crazy scale, Mark Ruffalo on Infinitely Polar Bear.
Oh, right.
And then my top pick in this category, Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic.
Ah, that's a movie I hated.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that movie.
Well, his kids were really getting put through the motions on their education.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Take care. Yeah, I hated it. I hated Captain Fantastic. Oh my God!
I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it. I rented it from the Red Box, and I was just like, "Oh wow, this was even kind of a waste of a dollar."
Yeah, and and in my world, Viggo can basically do no wrong. But that was a terrible movie, I'd like to see him reunite with Cronenberg again, do another movie with make it a trilogy.
Oh, yeah, because they did two. I always thought they did a third, because they did History of Violence and Eastern Promises,
and they're both unbelievable.
Remarkable movies.
Yeah. History of Violence, especially. I mean, I love Eastern Promises, but History of Violence, man. That was my favorite movie that year. 2005, I think it came out. That was my favorite movie that year. All right, we got to mention Clark Griswold from the Vacation franchise. All the crazy stuff that Clark Griswold, played by Chevy Chase, went through during the various vacations would be Wally World Europe, Christmas, and Las Vegas. was just a constant attempt to be a good dad. He wanted his kids to have fun, experience different cultures, and understand the importance of family. And it was clear that he would let nothing, be it a dead aunt and her dog, an endless roundabout, a greedy boss, or bad luck at the casino, stop him from making it happen. So, yeah, especially the first vacation. Well, the first vacation and Christmas vacation, those are both really good. The others are not. The others are the European vacation is horrible. Christmas vacation is horrible. Or I'm sorry, the Vegas vacation is terrible. Daniel Hillard, Mrs. Doubtfire, a movie that I think is one of the worst movies ever made. I absolutely hate that movie. Robin Williams, a character, loved his kids so much that he was willing to dress in an elaborate drag costume, invent a new persona, and get hired as their nanny just to spend time with them. The thing about that movie, besides it being annoying and not funny and forced, was that the message of the movie was the best mom is male. The best mom is played by a man. That, you know, I mean, the message was men are better than women at raising children.
Just like in Forrest Gump, the message is if you are a liberated woman who tries to live her own life, you'll get AIDS and die.
Yeah. Well, I love Forrest Gump.
I know.
I think Forrest Gump is a great movie. I think it's great. There's a lot of darkness in that movie, man. I know a lot of people are like, it's Forrest Gump. It's cute. It's adorable. It's not. It's a very subversive movie.
Mm-hmm. You could call Forrest Gump a good movie, Dad.
Yeah.
He becomes a great dad.
He does to Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
So
I will say, as much as I don't really like that movie, the bit where he asks Jenny if he's smart,
absolutely,
that's a tearjerker, man.
That's a tearjerker, and I'm, you know, and it, when he's at Jenny's grave at the end, I can't control it. I can't control it. I love that movie. I love. Well, it's Zemeckis. I will absolutely acknowledge my bias with Robert Zemeckis. I have an issue with the Polar Express.
It's terrifying.
It's weird. And, you know, that whole little... And I think the only bad movie he's ever made was the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol. When he was off doing the animation for that for a few years.
Yeah, he went into that a little too... I think he backed the wrong horse in terms of that style of animation.
I think Beowulf is great.
You've got to be kidding
No,
me.
I think Beowulf is great.
What?
I think it's great. I think it's really, really great.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah. The Christmas Carol, hated it. Polar Express, weird, but, you know, not horrible. But I thought Beowulf was great. Yeah, the only Robert Zemeckis movie that I have, besides The Christmas Carol, I'm not crazy about Death Becomes Her. That's the only one that I'm not really, like, I don't go over the moon about. But almost every other Zemeckis movie, I can name like 8 Zemeckis movies that to me are either masterpieces or easily 4-star movies. At least 8 movies. So, let's see. Here's Big Ed. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Yeah.
First of all, you and WGN deserve the honors.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love your radio station.
Yeah.
I love all them people on there.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
My dad is the best and the worst, Archie Bunker.
Yeah. Yeah, he does fit into both categories, I think. I mean, ultimately, he loves Gloria. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. But, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of Archie Bunker's mouth is pretty questionable.
But you know that he'd do anything for the family, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that he, you know, he was a bigot. And so...
He's kind of weird about it.
Yeah. All right, Ed. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care,
Nick. Right, there you go. Yeah, Archie Bunker. Oh, look at this. 262 area code texts in. Ozzy Osbourne was a great TV dad.
There you go.
As we've talked about the Osbournes before, still some of my favorite moments. That show, when that show was on, man. The first time it came on, and I know it became a cultural phenomenon, but it was so funny. I mean, so funny. And I got the DVDs, and you have the option of watching it without the beeps, and I don't, because I think the beeps are funnier.
The beeps are absolutely funnier.
They drop in F-bombs all over the place, yeah. But you could watch it uncensored. There's the option that you can watch it, and I never do.
The sad part is that was my introduction to who Ozzy Osbourne was.
Well,
not Black Sabbath.
I think a lot of people. I mean, you know, listen, Vic didn't know that Ozzy Osbourne was the lead singer of Black Sabbath. You know, as he's going on this musical journey. But yeah, there were so many funny things. My favorite ever was an episode, and I've talked about this before. The first 5 minutes of the episode, is Ozzy trying to open a DVD. He can't. He's trying to get the plastic off. He's trying to get the thing off, and that's taking forever. He finally gets the thing open, tries to take this DVD out, and he can't operate the DVD player. He's trying to get the DVD player to open. He can't. And this is going on and on and on. And finally, Jack! And then Jack has to come in and help him. But the icing on the cake of that scene of him desperately trying to open up a DVD, which he can't do, and then put the DVD in the player. The DVD he wanted to watch was The Best of Chris Farley, which is that detail right there is just enough.
Wow.
The Best of Chris Farley. He
He's
was
got
trying
great
to watch.
Taste.
Yeah. Mike from Novak Construction says, great TV dad, Bill Bixby, Courtship of Eddie's Father. I totally agree. I love the Courtship of Eddie's Father. I love Bill Bixby. He was on a show in the 70s. We've talked about it before, called The Magician, where he would solve crimes and do magic.
I like that it's a subgenre of TV in like the 70s, where it's just like, well, what profession can solve crimes?
Magicians.
Yeah. Really culminating in Manimal.
The man
who can turn
into
animals.
And then we've got the two, Now You See Me. Or what the hell are they called? Now You See Who You Do.
Now You See Me.
Is it Now You See Me?
Yeah, with
Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg.
And not Michael Cera.
Yeah. Is it Ilsa Fisher?
Yeah.
And
Borat's wife.
Ruffalo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never the thing that really upset me was, you know, they had Now You See Me, and then they're like, oh, we're going to make a sequel. How was the title not Now You Don't?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah. I have a real guilty pleasure spot for both of those movies.
Really?
Oh, I do. They're so stupid, but I like both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. The second one is incredibly stupid, but I like them both. But to me, they're the kind of movies that, like, 3 o'clock in the morning on cable, I'll watch them. They're stupid, but I enjoy the cast very much. And
Dave Franco just being Dave Franco.
Dave Franco just being looking like he's high.
Does he ever look not completely stoned to the bone?
Yeah, and I can't believe he's married to Annie.
That really, it honestly upsets me a little
bit. Yeah. Okay, here's the ultimate question for you. Britta or Annie? It's like Ginger or Marianne. Britta or Annie?
I'm going to say...
That is really a tough question.
That's a tough one.
If you're a Community fan...
I'm going to say Annie because, one, there's a monkey named after her chest.
Yeah.
And Britta is, like, everyone's a hypocrite on that show, but, like, Britta is probably the worst of them in a lot of ways.
Britta is also a head case.
Yeah.
Much more of a bigger head case than Annie.
Yeah.
Which is why I would choose Britta.
Which is weird because... <'cause...
laughs> And I happen to adore Gillian Jacobs.
Oh, that's what makes it so hard is that, like, both of them are incredible characters, incredible actors.
And they both have great Netflix series.
Yes.
Love and Glow, fantastic.
I liked Love, but hate Paul Rust. Not as a person, I get it. He's just a dude.
His character?
He's just so incredibly annoying and nasal, and maybe that's a self-reflection because I have a little bit of a nasally voice. But either way, I can't stand him. Britta, Gillian Jacobs is amazing. And who's the Australian girl?
Oh, I can't remember her name. She's unbelievable. As Gillian's roommate.
Yeah, she appears on Comedy Bang Bang a lot, the podcast.
Hilarious.
Unreal how funny she is.
She is hilarious. All the stuff with her boyfriend. Gold.
That's what kept me going through that show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with Paul Rust at all. In fact, I like him. And I thought
he's funny everywhere else.
I thought Apatow's daughter was fantastic on that show.
Yeah, I like Paul Rust everywhere else except for On Love. There was just something about it I couldn't stand.
Okay, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 773 area code sends a text, George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life. Great choice.
Oh, Clarence.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're talking about fathers, the memorable fathers in honor of Father's Day. Good, bad TV movie dads. 312-981-7200. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Whenever I hear that song, I have to mention that when I was younger, I've heard the lyrics. And when he died, all he left us was a loan. I thought he left them in debt. I thought they had to pay off a loan. That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was when I was a kid. It's like, oh, man, he died, and now they got to pay off this loan?
What a deadbeat.
That's what I thought. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. All the regular Friday features coming up. We got Vic's Picks. We got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then we get funky with Fly Jams Friday. Coming up, also the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, more text here. We got to get back to some of the other, the 708 area code. Russ says, Jeff Garland from the Goldbergs is a true American dad. Love that guy in his tidy whiteies. Jeff Garland. I love Jeff Garland. 847 says Chuck Connors and the Rifleman. Yes. 262 area code, bad movie dad, Harrison Ford and Mosquito Coast. Oh, yeah. That's a great choice. Best TV dad, Ash Williams or Homer Simpson. And for movie dad, Bill Paxton in Frailty. Chris in Elk Grove. Chris is twisted. Chris in Elk Grove is twisted. If he's picking Bill Paxton in Frailty, which is a great movie, by the way. Bakery Guy says, hey, congrats. Thank you very much. Fred McMurray, My Three Sons, Rodney Dangerfield, Back to School, and Tim Allen on Tool Time or Home Improvement. And 262 area code says, Dustin Hoffman and Kramer versus Kramer for the dads, and congrats to you. You deserve it. Thank you very much, 262. 815 area code said, oh, this is Carrie. Carrie C. says, hey, Nick, congratulations on your award. Very deserving. You treat all your listeners very well. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I like Lee J. Cobb, father to Betsy on The Virginian. I also like Fred McMurray on My Three Sons. 309 area code says, the father in A Christmas Story. Oh, yeah, man. Darren McGavin as the old man in A Christmas Story. One of my favorite movie dads of all time. God, Darren McGavin is so good in that movie. It's such a great and iconic performance. He's so good. Harry Chapin gave half of his $26 million, $13 million. Then he persuaded Bruce Springsteen to give some of his income to charity. Bruce Springsteen convinced Jimmy Buffett to give some to charity. Jimmy Buffett contacted Warren Buffett, and that eventually became the Billionaire Club, promising a half of their wealth to charity. Those are great fathers. 847 area code. Let's see. Darth Vader, we mentioned already. Steve Martin in Parenthood is mentioned. Roberto Benigni in Life is Beautiful is also mentioned in the article. Bruce Willis in Armageddon. Oh, come on, man. God. Such a horrible movie.
I could watch that movie every day of my life. I enjoy it so much.
Michael Bay has no talent. At all.
Love a little Bayhem.
Oh, he's the worst. Absolutely the worst. And especially, you know, on top of the fact that he makes crappy movies, like the reports of his behavior on sets is just ridiculous. The only movie that I don't hate, and I hate all of his movies, the only movie that I don't hate is The Rock. That's the only one that he made that I don't hate. And I don't even like it that much. I mean, I like it. It's fine.
Welcome to The Rock.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
It's another terrible movie. Don't tell me you like that movie.
I love that movie growing up.
It's a horrible movie.
What's the name
movie
of the, it's like Power Man or
I don't know.
I can't remember. He's trying to get the superhero.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole movie is about him trying to get the big toy. I participated in this thing twice at Columbia College called Cinema Slapdown. And, the setup is that one person takes the pro side and another person takes the con side of a movie. They screen the movie, and then there's a debate afterwards. I've participated twice. I took the pro side for Freddy Got Fingered, because I'm the only person on the planet who would take the pro side.
Mm-hmm.
And then the con side was five guys from Improv Olympic. And then I ended up talking to you about this before. I ended up destroying them. It wasn't even close. And then we did one where it was a group of us, and I was in a group with Tim Kazurinsky from Second City and a couple of other people, and then we were going up against a group from Columbia. So it was like we were the all-stars, and they were the Columbia College folks. And we didn't know what movie. It was a Christmas movie, and we didn't know what movie we were going to see. We had to come up with our strategy, and then we flipped a card to see whether we would be on the pro side or the con side. So we pulled the con side, so we had to hate the movie, even if we liked it. Nobody knew what the movie was. Movie starts, it's Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
And we were con, obviously, so I didn't have to act because it's a horrific movie. But, yeah, that was fun. And as soon as it started, I'm like, oh, God, I got to sit through this movie. Because none of us knew. And we all just sat there and went, oh, God, I'm sitting next to Kazurinsky. And he's like, oh, God. So, anyway, all right, we got to break. News is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. Yeah, man, Friday! And that means all our regular Friday features. After the 3:30 news, we'll dive back into the music world with Vic Vaughn with Vic's Picks. And then after the 4 o'clock news, it's time for You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote. And then the first listener who jumps in at 312-981-7200 is the deciding vote, our third vote. And then also we got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And also, that works for Nick D. Show Spies. You listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to Nick D. Show @gmail.com. And then Fly Jams Friday. We'll begin all the regular Friday features. Right now, though, Father's Day is on Sunday. So we're doing the annual tradition of hanging out and talking about entertainment fathers. The best, the worst, the most memorable TV and movie fathers. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. More texts have come in. 779 area code says, congrats, Nick. Thank you very much. And best TV dad is Morty Seinfeld. I love Morty. I love Morty Seinfeld. But I adore Frank Costanza. Jerry Stiller on that show. You say you want a piece of me? I love him on that show.
Serenity Now!
Serenity Now! Why'd you have to put the bananas in there? When she's talking about Jell-O. Why'd you have to put the bananas in there? Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go make love to your mother. Oh, man, Jerry Stiller. Yeah, Frank Costanza, man. That's one of my favorite characters ever. Hey, Jerry. Hey, Jerry. Mr. Steinbrenner's here. George is dead. Call me back. let's see. Lonzo says, dads, Ben Cartwright on Bonanza, Andy Griffith and Matt Locke on the Andy Griffith Show. Canadian Bill says, how about Dr. Nick Sr. from Raising Cain? All right, Canadian Bill, man. Somebody other than me brought up Raising Cain. That's insane. Squat says, hey, Tom and Nick and Tom, how about Chris Cooper in October Sky? That's a great choice. October Sky, what a good movie. Really good movie. Big congrats to you and your team. Thank you, Squat.
Appreciate it.
All right. We have some worse dads that we want to get to in TV and in film. Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is TV's most famous dad, but not exactly a role model. He may be good at heart, but some of his favorite pastimes include drinking, laying on the couch, and strangling his son Bart whenever he gets out of line. Uh, Oh, here we go.
A magic animal.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. They're all from the same animal. Oh, sure, Lisa. All right, here's Jason on WGN. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Nick, how you doing? Congratulations,
by
the way.
Thank you.
I got a couple. Red Foreman, he was hard, and he made mistakes, but he was a good dad.
Yeah. That's the great Kurtwood Smith from the That 70s Show. Yeah.
I have one for a bad dad. Stacy Keach from Titus, Papa Titus.
Oh, sure. Yeah, wow.
I totally loved that show. He was horrible.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I like that show, too. Yeah, whatever happened to Christopher Titus? I wonder where he is now.
I don't know, but I heard that it was going to, I mean, they wanted to renew it, but I guess he was being difficult, which is ultimately why that show did not get renewed.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Jason. Take care, man.
You want to know where Christopher Titus is now?
Is he doing stand-up?
Yeah, in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
No, really?
Yeah. Like, literally tonight at the Rouse Center for the Arts, where I used to work.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where he is.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. All right. That show, that Titus, that was a funny show.
He was good.
Yeah, that was a funny show. All right, next, bad TV and film dads. Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake.
Drink it up. You're just a bastard in a basket.
The afterbirth.
Oh, man. What an unbelievable performance that is. Just a towering film performance. One of the greatest movie performances of all time.
15 minutes. What was it? The first 15 to 20 minutes?
No dialogue. No dialogue at all.
Just him acting, and it's stellar. Yeah.
Daniel Plainview, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, says it straight out. He's an oil man. And he puts family second behind his own greed. That becomes abundantly clear as his relationship deteriorates with his adopted son throughout the movie. He doesn't ever really adopt him. He just takes him.
There's no law back then.
Al Bundy from Married with Children, one of my favorite TV dads of all time. I love Ed O'Neill. I think he's a great dad on Modern Family, too. Ed O'Neill was a very different kind of family man on Married with Children than he is now on Modern Family. Al's cynical outlook on life has a hard time not having an effect on his kids. I love Married with Children. I'd make no apology for it. I love that show.
It made me a little uncomfortable at times. It is funny. But
because
like
of the material? Because
he's just so bad. Like he just is so dismissive of his wife, of his children.
Yeah.
And it really made me uncomfortable, even though it was funny.
All the characters are that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like every character on that show.
Which is weird because I normally like shows where everybody's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Like I love Seinfeld. I love It's Always Sunny. Yeah. Something about this combination made me super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was a little too real at times.
I don't know. I loved that show. And I thought all the performances were great.
It's a legendary sitcom.
Yeah.
Legendary sitcom.
And I know a lot of people, like when it first came on, it was one of Fox's first, they just launched. The Fox network had just launched, and everybody was like, oh, it's the end of the world. This show is ridiculous. The material is so bad. You know, and the studio audience was always rowdy. You know, they would bring in hot chicks half naked. Woo! The crowd would go nuts. I love Married with Children. I love it. Frank Gallagher on Shameless. Well, you know why he's a bad father? Because he bribes people to get kids in college. That's
And I'm going to say, if there are fans of Shameless listening, which obviously there are,
yeah,
find the original. Find the original UK show, Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be shocked at how much better it is.
I don't, I have the Showtime now. I didn't have it before for a while. Why the hell did I get Showtime? There was a show that came. Oh. Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I didn't have Showtime until Twin Peaks, and I didn't have Epics until Perpetual Grace, and I didn't have Stars until Ash versus Evil Dead. That's two subscription services that I subscribed to because of Dana. Here's a good one. Oh man, we're talking bad dads. Dwight Hansen in This Boy's Life. Oh, my God. Robert De Niro in that movie. Oh, my God. I love that movie. This Boy's Life, based on the true story of Tobias Wolff. Robert De Niro plays a stepfather to a young Tobias, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and verbally, emotionally, and physically abuses him. Every time I come home, I put my hand on this TV, and it's warm. Every time, it's warm. That's the first time I ever saw DiCaprio in anything. And I was like, who the hell is this kid? Because I didn't watch The Growing Pains or The Silver Spoons or whatever the hell show he was on. He was unbelievable. Obviously, that goes without saying, Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the best actors on the planet. But he's unbelievable in that movie. Arlo Givens in Justified, played by Raymond J. Barry.
You watch Justified?
I do. I love it.
Yeah, very good.
Bernard Berkman in The Squid and the... Oh, God, The Squid and the Whale. Jeff Daniels. Recently divorced literary professor played by Jeff Daniels continually tries to force his own elite sensibilities to his young sons, despite they may actually want to be... whether they want to be interested or not. Yeah, that movie, man.
That and Francis Ha.
Well,
like two,
Noah
two
Baumbach. Noah Baumbach, man. I love his movie. I love his movies,
but he makes ridiculously talented.
Really uncomfortable films.
Yeah.
Like, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, man, that Squid. I remember the first time I saw that movie, I was like, what is happening? George Bluth Sr. in Arrested Development. Jeffrey Tambor.
They're all asking me to join their gangs. I feel like the prettiest girl at the prom.
It's fantastic. That show, man. The Fox run, not the Netflix run, but the Fox run was just fantastic. Oh, here's a good one. Bull Meacham, the great Santini. Bounce a basketball off my face. Michael O'Keefe. He's always going to be Danny Noonan. I don't care whatever he's in. He's always Danny Noonan. Randy Robinson, the wrestler. Oh, that movie destroys me every time. It's such a great movie. And Rourke is so good in it, man. And he blew that. He blew that second chance. I mean, he was in Iron Man 3, right? Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Because Ben Kingsley was the...
He was Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
Oh, so he did that, and then, but after that, you know, I thought, okay, after The Wrestler, this guy's got a second chance at a career, and man, did he blow it.
Yeah.
And he should have won the Oscar that year.
He really should have.
I mean, Sean Penn is great in Milk. He's great.
Sure, yeah.
But, man, that's an extraordinary performance. Here's a bad father, Jack Torrance in The Shining.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they debuted the trailer of Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to The Shining, which follows Danny Torrance as an adult, played by Ewan McGregor. The trailer's great.
It's the great. The minute the score kicks in, yeah, from the original Shining,
yeah,
at the last bit of that
you
trailer.
You and I were talking about this off, yeah, the air, about how Stephen King's going to react to it, because Stephen King notoriously is known for he hates Kubrick's version of The Shining. He hates it. And I was always curious when I heard that they were making this. I didn't know whether they were going to acknowledge the Kubrick movie or not, because Stephen King has disowned it. Not only do they acknowledge it, they completely show, they show clips from it in the trailer. They show, you know, the music cues. Yeah.
They had to. Because otherwise people wouldn't get it. They'd,
yeah,
be like, what is this supposed to be?
Well, because that's the movie version of, I don't care about the miniseries, the movie, yeah, version of The Shining is the Kubrick version.
Yeah. So clearly Stephen King has said, you know what, you got to steer into the skid.
Yeah.
You just got to be like, this is what people want to see. Let's give it to them.
Yeah. All right. Let's break here, and then we'll wrap up the conversation about the best, the worst TV movie dads for Father's Day. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Vic's Picks. Vic's Picks coming up right after the 3:30 news in just a few minutes. Right now, we're wrapping up the conversation, having some fun here, as we do every year right before Father's Day. Father's Day is obviously this Sunday. And so we're talking about the best, the worst, the most memorable TV and movie dads. 312-981-7200. Here's Diane on WGN. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, hi, Nick.
Hi.
I got a good one for you. This is an oldie. I Never Sang for My Father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, Jason Robards. Jason Robards. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is outstanding.
Yep, classic. Absolute classic. Oh, my. Yeah. Okay, yep. Diane, thank you.
All righty.
Take care. I hear some other ones. We're going down the bad fathers. How about Frank Reynolds and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
What are you talking about? Great father. Amazing father.
After years away from his kids, Frank is much more interested in being a member of the group of friends than offering any parental advice.
I think his greatest moment is in the Christmas special.
Coming out of the, yeah, like the birthing scene.
Is there a man in that couch? Yes, there's a man in the couch! Yeah.
It reminded me of my favorite moment in When Nature Calls, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, the rhino scene where he comes out of the butt of the rhino. I just, I don't even know what to say.
Should be illegal.
It's ridiculous.
How funny.
It's just ridiculous. Completely ridiculous and hilarious. Here's another one. Matilda, Mr. Wormwood, played by Danny DeVito. Another character worthy of this list for Danny DeVito. Always looking for the next scheme rather than paying attention to his daughter. It's hard to argue when Matilda super glues her father's hat to his head. Movie directed by Danny DeVito as well. How about Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones? For a man who says that he does everything for the betterment of his family, he's awful to his kids. If you want a pat on the back, don't go running to him. He's more likely to belittle you. How about this? Michael Corleone and the Godfather, another father who only wanted to help his family, is Michael Corleone, but his actions came back to haunt him. And when his family business results in his daughter's death. Oh, here we go. It's one of my Royal Tenenbaum, played by Gene Hackman. the Royal Tenenbaums. Having not seen any of his family since he and his wife divorced, Royal Tenenbaum pushes and shoves his way back into their lives, place to live. Hackman won a Golden Globe for his performance as the insensitive patriarch of the Tenenbaum family. That is such a great movie. That's my favorite Wes Anderson movie. It's absolutely my favorite Wes Anderson movie. The movie destroys me. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Don Draper, Mad Men.
Bad dad.
Yeah, you think? He has kids. He rarely sees them. He's such an absent dad that Sally and Bobby were once home alone in his apartment while it was robbed. Child support aside, Draper is not what you would call a family man. You think?
Shout out to Chicago's very own Kiernan Shipka as his daughter.
Yeah. Don Draper. Glenn is on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awards.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. You mentioned Michael Corleone, and I was going to throw out there Vito Corleone, sure. Either one of them. I think the son was worse than the father.
Yeah.
But they were good fathers and bad fathers at the same time.
Yeah.
He had your back. He had your back until you turned on him.
Right. That's it. All right, Glenn. Thanks, man.
Hey, have a nice weekend.
All right, man. Take care. George Young in Blow. Boston George had a baby girl and got sober cold turkey. If you saw the mountains of cocaine that Young vacuumed through his nose, you'd know how dramatic a step that truly was. His daughter became his heart, and he couldn't live without her, but Young ends up breaking a huge promise and gets busted one last time. Ted Mosby in How I Met Your Mother.
Good old Mosby.
Mosby, I don't know. Yeah. I never watched the show.
Oh, he's a terrible father.
He told his kids the same story for 9 long seasons, and then sucker punched them in the end. Oh, that's right, because everybody hated the...
He goes back to the girl that they said wasn't going to be the mother, because she wasn't the mother, but then he gets back with this, Robin Scherbatsky.
Okay. And then really quickly, I want to close on this. Esquire magazine put together a list that we didn't get to, the most iconic TV dads of all time. And the first one that they mention is Earn Marks Atlanta, played by Donald Glover, which I think is a great choice. Though the system is always working against him, Donald Glover's Earn never stops fighting to make make the life for his family that they deserve. So, yeah. They mentioned Walter White from Breaking Bad, Edward James Olmos from Battlestar Galactica, George Jefferson from The Jeffersons, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos, Michael Bluth, Arrested Development, that would be Jason Bateman, Hal Wickerson, which would be Bryan Cranston from Malcolm in the Middle. John Mahoney and Frasier. These are all great ones. Reginald Vell Johnson in Family Matters. That guy deserves a medal because he had to put up with that idiot next-door neighbor idiot. And then H. John Benjamin, Bob Belcher, and Bob's Burgers.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Great show. All right, there you go. Memorable TV and movie characters for fathers. So there you go. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up, and then right after the news, the regular Friday features begin, and we kick it off with Vic's Picks right here on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Now we're live in the Skyline, Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And it's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then things get funky a little later on for Fly Jams Friday. That's all coming up. Steve Grzanich following us at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and at 6 o'clock, the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive. All righty then. All right. As we've been talking about now for the past several weeks, Vic was kind of embarrassed by his lack of musical knowledge. He'd never really heard of a lot of music before. So he was going to remedy that by diving headfirst into Rolling Stone magazine's top 100 albums of all time. And he was going to listen to every one of them and do research and learn. And we do a weekly report on his journey into the music world. And so we call it Vic's Picks. Shall we begin?
Albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
All right. And there we go.
Still getting used to that great intro.
The official intro for Vic's Picks. All right. Yes. Vic has dove into the top 100 records according to Rolling Stone and been doing this now. How long have you been doing this now?
I was trying to figure that out the other day. Maybe a month.
It seems
Is it longer than that? Maybe a little longer.
Maybe a little longer than a month, yeah.
Probably 6 weeks.
Yeah. And enjoying some of it, not enjoying some of it, but in learning along the way.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, which is great.
Some summary.
All right, so let's begin. Where do you want to start here?
Number 42, the Rolling Stones. This is the Rolling Stones list of greatest albums ever recorded. The Doors, number 42.
The self-titled debut album.
Yep.
By The Doors.
Yeah, 1966, I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's either 66, 67. I'm sorry, I'm confused. I wrote down both those years. But track one started out with that because that one, just Break On Through, that's a jam. I think everybody can agree on that. That's a jam. It's, I mean, I kind of, you know, felt like it's perfect. It's a perfect first song for The Doors for me because I kind of, that's kind of what I had heard or learned just throughout life about Morrison was just kind of, you know, it just sound, that song just screams to me just like chaos, disorder, revolt, you know, shaking things up.
Yeah.
You know, am I right on that for Break On Through?
I'm gonna pull myself out of the conversation about The Doors because I hate them.
Okay.
I'll talk about The Doors.
Yeah, no,
I love The Doors.
You guys can jump in that. I think Jim Morrison was a buffoon.
Yeah.
And I can't stand The Doors. So my comments are going to be, I want
to... That's
you guys,
okay. You can criticize them.
Yeah. Jim Morrison to me was just an idiot. And I never liked the band. I think Ray Manzarek is a very talented musician. But I can't stand their music.
Oh, wait, who did you just...
Ray Manzarek. He's the keyboard player.
Ray Manzarek, who passed away not that long ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
That guy, I mean, he was not just the keyboardist, but there was no bass player in The Doors.
Yeah,
there was no
cool
bass player. So Ray Manzarek was pulling double duty. He was in charge of providing the low end of the sound.
And not only that, I mean, you know, as much as I don't like it, he did come up with one of the most iconic keyboard riffs of all time.
Light My Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not even, I mean, that is one of the most iconic, and that's all him. And so...
Okay, and just for reference on where I am in this walk of getting better at this, I didn't recognize that song when it came on.
You seriously? You
Jeannie
didn't recognize?
Was looking at me with her mouth wide open. She's like, she's not even saying anything, but the look on her face said like nothing.
You've
still
never
nothing?
Heard "Light My Fire."
No, I've heard it, but I didn't recognize.
You didn't
it.
Recognize
but yeah,
it.
Yeah, he did. Manzarek, and I ended up reading more about Ray Manzarek than I is it Manzarek?
It's yeah, Manzarek. Yeah.
Than I did Morrison, but yeah, he Ray
well,
Manzarek.
He's a much more interesting guy than Jim Morrison was.
He was really interesting.
You know, I mean, Morrison was an idiot. He'd call me the Lizard King and all that mm-hmm. crap, and I never found him to be any kind of a poet of any kind. He was a drug addict and a drunk who wrote lyrics that made no sense.
I mean, to be fair, you can say that about a lot of people of that era.
Well, true, really but they don't have the reputation that Jim Morrison has. There's a lot of people who were and I will say this, a beautiful looking guy, like a beautiful front man. No question about it. Had a lot of, charisma. There's no question about it. But I just think that I just think the Doors are one of the most overrated bands in the history of music.
Mm.
But anyway, I know Tom, you like them, and
I do,
and
I really enjoy the Doors. I know, obviously, you can criticize Jim Morrison any day of the week, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. It's a certain style of '60s counterculture poetry stuff that can be perceived as either completely transcendent or totally, you know, moronic. But to me, I really like the Doors because of the band itself, not necessarily Jim, although I think he had the perfect voice for it. I really think he did. But you've got Ray Manzarek and I want to say, I feel terrible. Some of the other two band members, the guitarist and the drummer, who brought an amazing amount of technical ability. Like, you listen to the Doors, that's not rock and roll drumming, that's jazz. What's happening there is jazz. And like, I've got a little bit of Break On Through that I'll play right here. Just listen to the drums here. I think it's absolutely insane.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Doesn't that just get your blood?
Oh,
to, like,
I got it. I like it. And I will say this about that song. Does that bass line sound familiar to anybody? There's a couple songs out there, so I'll just give you the answer. Manzarek borrowed the bass line from Ray Charles' What I Say.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's when I learned that they didn't have a bass player.
By the way, it's John Densmore and Robbie Krieger.
Yeah.
Robbie Krieger.
Both spectacular musicians that in a lot of ways were kind of trapped by being in the Doors. Being in the Doors was kind of a blessing and a curse. It brought them an immense amount of fame and wealth and all that kind of stuff, but they were stuck under the thumb of Jim Morrison's personality, which is where I usually am like, okay, Jim Morrison kind of sucks.
Yeah,
because he made these guys' life really difficult.
Yeah, I read a lot about that he did. And the producer, like at one point, the producer was like, we've got to get some more music out of these guys because the wheels are coming off with LSD and heroin.
Oh, yeah.
But they definitely liked hanging out at Soul Kitchen. That's track two.
Yeah.
That was a restaurant owned by a lady named Olivia, a little black lady that named Olivia in Santa Monica. They loved her. They loved the restaurant. She made great soul food, and she charged $1 a plate. And so they would hang out there, and they wrote this song, Soul Kitchen, about her. That was track two. Doors' favorite spot. I didn't really feel much throughout the other tracks until track six, Light My Fire. That was a huge hit for them because I knew it. So obviously it must have been massive.
Yeah, exactly.
Track nine, Into the Night. This song could almost put you in a trance. That's the way I felt about it. It was very trance-like to me. What do you think, Tom? Do you recall that song? Into the Night is it's kind of just one of those songs that puts you.
The Doors have a lot of tunes like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is this the end on the first album?
Yeah, the end.
Yeah.
Which was notorious.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And used beautifully at the beginning of Apocalypse Now, the movie Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
got them kicked out of the Whiskey a Go-Go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I read about that as well. That's a neat story. He was so the band was playing the end. That's track 11. But the band was playing it without him. From the article I read, without him, and they played a whole set. They had to play two because the other band didn't show up. And so they went to Morrison, and he was in his apartment, like blitzed out of his mind. And so they brought him back to the stage. And when he played that one, yeah, he used some words that he
promised. There's a section of that song.
Yeah, there's a section.
Yeah, there's a section of that song that's, you know, you can't
the
talk
Oedipus
about
the complex
there.
Section.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
We won't talk about it.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting reading about that song. I probably read a couple hours about just that the stories about that one song. But
yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun album to go through. I had never listened to an entire album by The Doors, so that was...
Yeah, okay, so The Doors. And then, like I said, that The End became a really notorious song, and then The Doors had a second life in the early 80s, Vic. This was about 11 years after Morrison had died. They suddenly were huge again. And he made the cover of Rolling Stone. The late Jim Morrison made the cover of Rolling Stone. I'll never forget this. I was in high school. Made the cover of Rolling Stone in the fall of 1981. And it said, he's big. He's big. He's back. He's dead. That was like the headline.
Wow.
And because they were selling so many records, there was like this, you know, resurgence in record sales, like big time record sales for Doors albums. In the early 80s, and that was fueled by, you know, the popularity of the classic rock FM stations. And teenagers, you know, like my peers in high school were getting way into The Doors, like big time.
Huh.
And the record sales soared in the early 80s, so much so that he made the cover of Rolling Stone 11 years after his death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, they had that second tier of popularity that they had. You know, they had it in the 60s and the early 70s, and it was cold for a while. And then, like, right around 1981, they became massive again.
Wow.
So, all right, we're going to break here for some weather, Vic, and then we've got a few more records to talk about on Vic's Picks, correct?
Yep.
All right, we'll do that after we take a break here for the weather.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Deep blood in the streets, it's up to my knees.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Coming up at 5, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Welcome back, everybody. We are live, and we are talking with Vic Vaughn about his latest musical journey, going through the top 100 albums, according to Rolling Stone magazine. And it's Vic's Picks. All right, Vic, where are we going next?
Number 41, Sex Pistols, Never Mind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols, 1977.
Do I have to dump that?
No.
Can't.
You're not in England.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Exactly.
We're fine.
Yeah.
Bollocks.
The only... So he said it because we gave him... Don't celebrate it, Tom. Their only studio album. This is their only studio album. And I also learned that the Sex Pistols basically started the punk movement in England. I didn't know that. So for that, I mean, I really respect them. And I also... like from this album, it just screams anti-establishment, just kind of underground the sound to me. But I also kind of try to put my mind thought back in that time, the late 70s. This probably would have been very, very alternative, I assume, right? I don't know. You tell me.
It was a movement. I mean, it was a total movement, and it's one of the most political records ever made. You know, the musicianship is questionable. Like Sid Vicious, I don't even think knew how to play the bass at all. But that wasn't the point of the album. That wasn't the point of that band.
What was the point?
Was striking out against what was happening in England.
That's what I got from it. Yeah,
and it launched the whole subgenre.
Yeah, Tom was
and a political movement. I mean, it's an important record. One of the most important records ever recorded.
So glad I listened to it.
And Glenn, you don't listen to that. Really, don't listen to that album to go, oh, that's a really great guitar riff, or really. That's not what it's about. But it's an important record. A really important record.
Really, really starting to learn that there are a lot of albums like that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not exactly the stuff you would put on to clean the house to, but
yeah,
are you kidding me?
And yeah, I know. I'm sure
you clean up the house real fast. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, by shattering all your glasses instead of washing them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm very glad that I've started this quest, because I would have never listened to that album. I don't think Tom sent me a really cool email. I haven't had a chance to read through the whole thing, but Tom, this this concert you were talking about, it was in England, right?
Yeah, the Sex Pistols played their first concert on June 4th, 1976. And there were just numerous people there that would go on to start bands. Mainly the ones that I always think of is the members who would become Joy Division, eventually New Order. But Joy Division was an incredibly important band in the late 70s. They started what would be later considered post-punk, which was a really interesting way to look at it. But you had members of Joy Division, and there were I think there were only like 4 dozen people there. You had Howard Devoto and Pete Shelley, who would start the Buzzcocks, which was a very important band.
Pete Shelley just passed away.
Yeah, too. He did. Yeah. And Mark E. Smith, who would start The Fall, which is a really important one. And then, of course, Stephen Patrick Morrissey, who would go on to be in The Smiths. And, of course, Tony Wilson, the subject of 24-Hour Party right. People. He managed right. New Order and also Joy Division in That's Manchester.
Incredible. Yeah. From yeah. watching one concert, you know.
Yeah.
History Channel wrote an article about it. Thanks for sharing that article with me. Let's move on because we only got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So number 40, Love is the name of the band, and Forever Changes, name of the album.
Yeah, 67. I'm really curious.
Oh,
I'm
really man.
Curious to see what you think of this.
Okay, there was so much to learn from this album. I don't think you can get it all from one listen, probably like many of the albums on this list, but I love this album. I thought it was beautiful.
Nice.
The horns, the strings, the vocals, beautiful voices. But I loved this album. I really did not think I was going to like this album, and it didn't sound anything like I thought it would.
Well, before you talk, why don't we hear a little taste of it, Vic, and then you can tell us what you thought of the album. This is Love.
And when you've given all you had, and everything still turns out bad, and all your secrets are your own, then you feel your heart beating from bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of money, this album. It was actually kind of a financial failure from what I read about it. Peaked at 154 on the Billboard 200. That was the best it did. It did better in UK, but it wasn't until later that they kind of
right.
noticed basically the genius of it, you know. But, you know, now it's obviously, according to Rolling Stone, considered one of the greatest albums ever recorded. But I thought it was beautiful music. I had to figure out what does Forever Changes mean? So I looked it up. Really kind of cool. Lee's, he's the album producer, Arthur Lee. He's also the band leader, singer-songwriter. But he heard about a friend of a friend who'd broken up with his girlfriend. And I guess she told the boyfriend, "You said you'd love me forever," and he said, "Well, Forever Changes," and Lee loved that, and so he used it as the title.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a gorgeous record. I really do. I'll listen to this one quite a bit more and try to soak up all the rest. They were also one of the very first racially diverse American rock bands.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really glad that you like this record. You could I was thinking you could go either way on this one.
I really didn't know what to expect at all.
Yeah,
but I loved it. Yeah, I really did.
Tom, you a fan of Love?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I definitely appreciate the, especially the production technique on this. It's very lush.
Yeah.
It's very full. You can tell that it's like what Phil Spector would do with the Wall of Sound in a certain sense. It's just really beautiful music of a particular time that wouldn't be appreciated
in its
day, but now it's like a state. Oh yeah, if you think of 60s pop, you got to think of this sort of sound.
And it is a very distinct time. It sounds like a very distinct, because you were talking about the production of it. There was a lot of records that were experimenting with that kind of sound and that kind of production. It was a very specific time when a bunch of records kind of sounded like that. Some were better than others, and this is definitely one that's better than others.
Total flower child sort of
absolutely
sounding stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say for anyone that's going to dabble with Love, Forever Changes, check out track 8.
Okay.
All interesting right. song, Live and Let Live. Anyway, I was going to go into the Beatles, number 39. I think we'll save that one for next week.
And the Beatles, you're talking Please, Please Me.
Please, Please Me.
This will be, you know, if you're at number 39, I would imagine Vic, that you're going to be hearing numerous Beatle albums. You're going
to
be
there's at least three, maybe four.
At least, yeah.
A couple Bob Dylan ones still to go.
You're going to start to see repeats a little bit here.
It's getting really good.
I can't wait till you get into a little Robert Zimmerman.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen that one.
No, that's Bob Dylan's.
That's
real
Bob Dylan's real
name.
Oh,
see, you'll learn that. You'll learn that when you. That's his real name. That's Bob Dylan's real name. So, all right, Vic, as always, fun and fascinating, and I'm glad you're enjoying it, and so there you go. All right, we'll do it again. Vic's Picks next week as Vic continues his musical journey right here on 720 WGN. We'll take a quick break, and we've got the news coming up, and then right after the news, we get right to the dummies of the week, you big dummy, coming up right after the news, which is next.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
All right. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. The Friday features continue right here with You Big Dummy. This is when we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on the dummies. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person listening through on 312-981-7200 will be our third vote. Dummy number one. A man caught with cocaine in his nostrils tried to convince deputies that the drugs weren't his during a traffic stop in, of course, Florida. Two deputies at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office pulled over a vehicle and immediately noticed the passenger had a white powdery substance on his nose. The passenger, identified as 20-year-old Fabricio Toros Jimenez, told deputies the cocaine didn't belong to him. The sheriff's office wrote on Monday, a deputy swabbed his nose and the powder reportedly tested positive for cocaine content. After inspecting the vehicle, the deputies said they found 250 grams of marijuana, 13 Xanax pills inside a backpack. Jimenez was also carrying a small baggie of cocaine. The 20-year-old was arrested on drug charges. Deputies did not identify the driver.
Sold to the dummy with the black mustache. What kind of life you think it is being the father of a young dummy?
Dummy number two. Authorities say two Florida burglars. Boy, Florida represent every week. Two Florida burglars thought they were clever when they used a blowtorch to break into an ATM. It says ATM machine. I would like to point out that the Huffington Post wrote ATM machine. That's redundant, Huffington Post. Redundant. Because the M in ATM stands for machine. I think. Wouldn't you think an editor would know that at the Huffington Post?
I mean, not at the Huffington Post, unfortunately.
Well, let me start over again. Authorities say two Florida burglars thought they were clever when they used a blowtorch to break into an ATM, but they never hit the jackpot. Inside, the burning heat actually welded the ATM's hinges shut. Okaloosa County Sheriff's officials say that video surveillance shows the two male suspects entering the boardwalk on Okaloosa Island on Friday. One was armed with a crowbar and appeared to serve as the outlook, while the other took the blowtorch to the ATM. Instead of cutting the ATM with the blowtorch, authorities say the would-be thief welded the metal part shut and the pair left with nothing. Florida... So they left with nothing.
every dummy, there's a dummy. One dummy ain't enough in this house. You gotta bring home super dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three.
How was your weekend? Good? Did you get outside and enjoy that early summer weather? Maybe you had a barbecue or you take a trip to the pool or the beach. Did you finally find time to knock off a few chapters of that good book? Hey, did you challenge Tom Cruise to an MMA fight? Yes, our dear friend Justin Bieber, age 25, staving off the Sunday scares by challenging the 56-year-old star of Mission Impossible Fallout to a fight. It's difficult to say what precisely spurred Biebs' desire for martial combat with a man 31 years older than himself, but whatever the reason, Bieber already has one man in his corner, occasional UFC fighter and full-time clown show Conor McGregor. Full-time clown show. That's fantastic. This, by the way, was written by the AV Club, so, of course, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Full-time clown show, Conor McGregor. You can't have a fight without an undercard, but worry not, McGregor has a solution for that. Sure, why not? Mark Wahlberg seems like the type of dude who thinks he could beat Conor McGregor, and McGregor seems to have abandoned serious fighting in favor of stupid BS like this anyway. He stepped into the octagon exactly once since 2016 in service of receiving a brutal beating at the hands of Khabib. I'm not even going to try. That made it clear that McGregor is no longer a top fighter, if he ever truly was. Surely Wahlberg could find time to fit some MMA training into his daily schedule. Bieber, meanwhile, seemed perhaps to have settled down since he found religion and then got married last fall. No more abandoning monkeys in Germany. No more hotboxing private weed planes. No more peeing in buckets while slandering former presidents. It is difficult to tell if this challenge is a deviation from that path, or if it's just another step on the path to mature adulthood. Sooner or later, we must all cage fight the Tom Cruises of our own restless souls. But you're not here to know the unknowable that resides within a Canadian pop star's heart. What you want to know is whom to bet on this semi-hypothetical matchup, and thankfully there is no shortage of degenerates in the UK to provide the odds. Per the gambling website Oddschecker, bookmakers, this is a British website, have opened betting with Cruz as a half favorite over the young Biebs. Cruz's performance in Far and Away highlighted his on-screen boxing ability, he said odds checker Cullum Wilson. On the other hand, Bieber seemed to struggle in a scuffle with Orlando Bloom a few years ago. Expect Cruz's odds to drop as time progresses.
But if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies. There's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy.
By the way, have you seen Far and Away, Tom?
No.
If you have any respect for the Irish accent...
Oh, wait, for Tom Cruise,
yes,
and...
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, no, I've never seen the movie, but I've seen the clips, it's
unbelievable. And I love Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's pretty rude, honestly.
It's awful. It's completely ridiculous. And Ron Howard should have his head smacked, because he directed that stupid movie. All right, let's get back to it.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four.
Pennsylvania has seen more tornadoes than usual in 2019, with the state already hitting the yearly average. One Pennsylvania man thinks he may know the cause of the increase. Traffic circles. According to our news partners at the Trib, WNEP-TV in Scranton has the segment called Talk Back, which allows viewers to call and leave their opinions, and then the station airs them. We didn't have tornadoes until we started putting up traffic circles, because on account of, you want to know why? When people go round and round in circles, it causes a disturbance in the atmosphere and causes tornadoes, one man said about the recent uptick in tornadoes. Just recently, 6 tornado warnings were issued across the Commonwealth in a span of just 2 hours. Eric Horst, director of weather information at Center of Millersville University, said that traffic El Nino, Pacific El Nino, is still enhancing the jet stream, so the atmosphere is highly dynamic on all fronts through. Some years are more active than others. If the cycle goes through, and the cycle goes through every year, but it has nothing to do with traffic circles.
Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house. I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period.
All right. Let's take a break here for some weather. We got one more dummy to talk about, and then we will do a recap and vote on the dummy of the week. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday, and our Friday features continue. We've got one more dummy to talk about on You Big Dummy. Dummy number five. A woman in Scotland ended up having to be cut out of a children's toy car with a bread knife on Friday after an attempt at a joke that went very wrong. Zoe Archibald, 34, had climbed into her cousin's red and yellow little tyke's car after joking how she thought she could fit, but ended up getting wedged inside. There's no way that she could get herself out, her nephew, Matthew Shepherd Bull, told the Southwest News Service. The 34-year-old had attempted to climb into the tiny vehicle, but when that didn't work, it was placed over her head. The car ended up being jammed around to her midsection. Archibald, unable to wriggle herself out, ended up being trapped for an hour. No matter what she did, she just wasn't able to get out. Everyone found it funny, even Zoe, Shepherd Bull said. Eventually, it was a bread knife that had to cut her out.
Dummy. La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
All right. We have to vote. I'm going to do the recap. First person through will be either our tiebreaker or just our third vote. So let me do the recap. Good, strong week. Strong week. Florida well represented as well. Here we go. We got the dummy who told the cops that the cocaine in his nostrils was not his. We had the dummies who tried to open an ATM with a blowtorch but sealed it instead. We got the famous dummy who challenged Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. We got the dummy who said that traffic circles cause tornadoes. And the dummy who got stuck in a child's toy car. All right. Tom, this is a strong week, I got to say.
I know, that's a tough one.
These people are all really dumb.
Really dumb.
Yeah. All right.
I got to give a first runner-up to the lady in Scotland because
she's in Scotland.
She's in Scotland, and she is what my dad would call a dunderheed, an eejit, a nonce, everything in the book.
Dunderheed?
Yeah, dunderheed.
Wow, I don't know if I've heard eejit. I've heard the
eejit,
other two.
That's a classic, yeah. But yeah, dunderheed.
Dunderheed, I like that.
A numpty, as they say.
I've heard that one too, yeah. But Dunderheed's new to me.
Oh, that was my dad's favorite for me.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
He said I was about as useful as a chocolate teapot once.
That's great.
But I'm going to go with the thieves that sealed the ATM when they were trying to break in.
Or are you also going to go with the dummy who wrote the article? And added the word machine?
That's a sub-dummy. All
right, well, we're going with He's going with the dummy who tried to. All right, the cocaine in the nostrils is unbelievable. The guy who thinks that tornadoes are caused by traffic circles is an idiot. The woman who got stuck. I mean, they're all good. They're all good. But I'm sorry. I got to go with Biebs. I gotta go with Justin Bieber. So my vote is Justin Bieber challenging Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. And Connor, the full-time clown show. So I'm going with Justin Bieber challenging Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. And Tom is going with the dummies who tried to open an ATM with a blowtorch but then sealed it instead. So we need somebody to break the tie. These are the two you're choosing from. The dummies who tried to open the ATM with a blowtorch and sealed it. And I'm choosing, that's Tom's choice, and I'm choosing Justin Bieber challenging Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. So you have those to choose from. So what do you think here? 312-981-7200. You got to break the tie. It's either the dummies who tried to open the ATM with the blowtorch, either that one or Justin Bieber challenging Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. Those are your two choices. First one here through, and this is Joyce on WGN from Streamwood. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you voting for?
I vote for Bieber.
You vote for Bieber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the dummy of the week. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
Okay, take
Bye.
Care. Yeah. I'd vote for Bieber for several reasons over the past bunch of years. I mean, he's been a dummy for a long time. He's only 25 years old. He's got more than 25 years worth of dumb in him.
He's not 25 years old.
He's 25.
He can't be.
He's 25.
Really? He's my age?
He's 25.
I thought he was younger than me.
He's 25. You're as old as Biebs. He's married, too. 25 and married.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, born March 1st, 1994.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, he's 25 years old. And he was challenging 57-year-old Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise would kill him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, his ass is grass if that actually happened.
I wouldn't set anywhere near. I wouldn't try and even remotely try to fight Tom Cruise. He'd kill me. Bieber. Full-time clown show.
That's really who's the bigger dummy? Just Bieber or Conor McGregor overall?
But they're both. I mean, they're both massive dummies. But I loved. Come on, man! Full-time clown show. That's my favorite phrase now.
Oh God! That the only thing for me that tops that is when Stephen Colbert called. He said, "U.S. congressman and your disapproving aunt."
Yeah.
Oh God. Now I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mitch McConnell.
Mitch
yeah.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah, Mitch McConnell. Your disapproving aunt. Most of the time he goes turtle when he talks about.
He does. He looks like a turtle.
When he talks about McConnell. But those are always funny. Every time Colbert has a picture of a politician or whoever is in the news and he introduces them, always that second description is genius. And you know who else does? Trevor Noah does that too.
Yeah, he does a good job.
They both do that. But Colbert does it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, all right. Well, there you go. Can we get a couple in here?
We'll get a couple in here.
All right, we'll get a couple in before the news. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context.
Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
Full-time clown show. I will never tire of using that now. Get ready to hear that every show.
Oh, boy.
All right, straight out of context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context, sounds a little dirty, makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom, let's get a couple in here before the news.
All right, big week this week. Coming to us from Dawn in Marengo, here's Anna DeVlantes.
Have you gotten humped?
Oh. Well, have you?
Oh. All right.
All right, of course it wouldn't be straight out of context with getting you on here, so this is coming to us from Chris.
Way to pull it out in the end there, Mike.
Yeah, and as soon as I said it, right? Of course.
As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, man.
Got it. All right. Real quick, here's Dave Ennett. He was caught by Jesse.
Can I just say, I love it when Dave Ennett is part of this segment.
I'm sure he loves it, too.
Okay. Yeah.
How many balls have you seen?
I usually don't keep count, Dave. Oh, you know,
I love it when Dave's a part of it. I really do. Every time, it's always a treat. Wait, one more, and then we'll go to the news.
All right, one more. Dean Richards, the great Dean Richards, Uncle Dean, got caught by Dirty Dave.
I've sort of, you know, inched my way on it, like you know, practically on all fours.
I don't even want to know how that happened. I really don't. All right. Well, okay, so far a pretty solid batch of Straight Out of Context, and then after that we've got Nick D Show Spies, and then things get fly with Fly Jams Friday. We'll continue all the regular Friday features after the news, which is coming up right after this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context. Context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features coming up in just a little bit. Fly Jams Friday. We got Nick D Show Spies, but we're in the middle of Straight Out of Context, where you listen to the radio station 24/7 whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you laugh. Jot all the info and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, let's continue.
All right, you're back up again, Nick.
Oh, come on.
Caught by Andy in Oak Park.
I looked up and I saw him like dangling right in front of my face, so there he is. I was talking about a teeny little spider.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, my brother. Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
I mean, you're not alone. Dean's having a rough week as well.
All right.
This one is coming to us from Lake Geneva, Dan.
That is completely inappropriate urinal behavior.
Curious to know what that would be.
What would...
I really don't know.
What is inappropriate urinal behavior?
Yeah. And what specific behavior is he referring to?
Wow. Okay.
You may never know. All right, Wild Bill caught you again.
Come on, man.
You open yourself up to it.
All right. You get three shafts for your money.
You knew.
That movie, by the way, opens today.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Shaft. I'm most excited because Richard Roundtree's in it. That's.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that's the one thing that really... Otherwise, I feel a little lackluster about it. But seeing Richard Roundtree come back to play John Shaft is pretty cool.
I think so, too.
So, all right.
All right. Next up, again, Anna DeVellante is caught by Fox Valley Mike.
What if you have a little dinghy?
It's not the size of the boat.
Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. She's talking about humping and dinghies.
Oh, yeah.
This
and
week.
It doesn't end there. Uh-huh. Again. Anna DeVellante is caught by Brian J.
It's really not all that hard, but it just becomes hard.
Oh, my God.
Can't believe it.
All right.
All right. Sorry to say it, Nick.
Come on, man.
I know. It's because you won the. This is how you won the award.
This
Mr.
is why
Personality
I won the
here.
Best Personality Award from the Silver Dome Awards. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. This one's coming to us from Tim.
We were kind of doing it on the down low. Oh man,
keeping it secret. Secret lovers.
We were.
Yeah. She was seeing another guy kind of at the time.
She was seeing another guy kind of at the time, yeah.
You dirty boy. All right. Next one coming to us from Linda. This is Mary Vanneveld.
How much of a rack do you have to have a rack?
Wait a minute now. Wait, I think Mary just walked in and just like waved it away. Oh, man.
Yeah. Mary, how much of a rack?
Mary, can you throw on your headphones for a second there? Because I want to know where that came from. Mary Vanneveld just walked in, as she does every morning around 4:30. Hi, Mary. Hold on. Go ahead. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
What was that all
Very
about?
Very cranky because I just scraped my car in the parking
oh,
lot.
Oh, no! Well, those... I'm
so done with it.
Listen, those parking spaces are really tight in the park. Oh, see, now that's going to show...
My husband's going to kill me. Oh, no. So what did I do now?
You said... You want to play it back? Here you go, Mayor. Listen.
I love both teams. Always have...
That's Bill.
Oh.
That's our next one. Is that the next one?
How much of a wreck do you have to have a wreck?
There you go. How much of a wreck do you have to... What is going on? What was going on there?
We were talking about a wine rack, like a bra type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't know how much support the actual rack needed. It was a very odd thing. It's something that Michael Heidemann found online.
All right. Well, just so you know, you made out of context this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's been a great day so far. Okay. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to hear about your car.
But it's my wedding anniversary, so I hope I won't be in trouble.
Oh, well, congratulations, Mayor. Today?
It might be my last one.
No, but having parked in that lot, those parking spaces are ridiculously tight.
Yeah, Steve Kuzanich was hit a couple days ago.
No, it's ridiculous how tight those parking spaces are. They just try to squeeze as many people in there as they possibly can.
I just complain, but it doesn't do any good. Oh well, it was my fault.
All right. Okay,
have
Mayor.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, I understand. Maybe Bill Leff is next.
Bill Leff is next. This is coming to us from Kelly in Elgin.
I love both teams. Always have, always will.
I see.
There you go.
Wow, it took me a minute.
There you go.
Took me a minute.
Wake up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But by the way, it's not possible to love both teams. That's just me.
All right. This one's Rokon coming to us from Brian M.
I've been working my tongue to the bone.
Oh, jeez.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
All right.
And then Wendy Snyder coming to us from...
Boy, it took a while.
I know. This is the only one for her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Coming to us from Scott in Carpentersville.
It's too small for Grandma to see.
Ew. Ew. All right. And then another couple quick ones. This one's coming to us from Chris in Nashville.
Nashville.
Oh, Ro.
What was that?
I don't know. A little self-congratulatory there.
Man. All right.
And then this is one from me. I always like to catch other producers. This is producer Jasmine on the Bill and Wendy Show.
The dirtier, the better.
Wow. All right.
There it is. There it is.
That's it?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's it. There you go. Do it again next week. Listen every day, every morning, all the time, 24/7. And again, whenever anybody says something, you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and makes you giggle a little bit. Jot all the info down and send it to Nick D Show Spies. Or, I'm sorry, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. I was just jumping ahead to this.
Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
Like us.
There you go. Nick D Show Spies. Another regular Friday feature. And this is when you listen 24 hours a day, 24/7, to this station. And whenever anybody mentions me, or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy and jot down the name, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, spies, here we go.
All right, first one's coming to us from Mark D, and this is a mention on the Bill and Wendy Show.
The glasses I'm wearing are the ones that Drew Carey wore in the first five seasons of his show. They're very thick-rimmed, and I look like a claims adjuster from 1968, don't I?
Well, I have to tell you, those are very popular. I mean, our grandparents used to wear those.
No, I never thought they would come back into style.
You look like Rick Moranis.
Thank you. It's usually Moranis, but I think you're more right.
I didn't. Did you see me edit myself? Yeah. I literally bit my tongue.
I know.
I think Mary's
did you
more correct.
The kids?
Nick DiGilio just sat up in bed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Moranus, Mary?
My day is just getting better.
Moranus. We just saw Rick Moranus on the big screen.
I don't know why it just came out that way. Yeah. I just kind of forgot. I mean, he hasn't been in the news much lately.
No, he's been out of show business for a long time.
Yeah, but, is he even still over? What does he do?
There was a tragedy in his family. He had to take care of his family.
Oh, that's
so terrible. He dropped out of entertainment. He just has not come back.
Oh.
But we saw him on the big screen just this past Tuesday when I screened Ghostbusters.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sorry, Rick, about that.
There you go. All right, Mary, having a great day this morning. Happy anniversary. Okay. All right, next
up, coming to us from let's see here, this is coming to us from Celine and
Celine Dion.
I wish.
Okay.
And this is a mention on Steve Cochran show.
Oh,
so what if you could circumvent this by turning off the television but having the sound still on?
I think that's called radio.
Well, unfortunately, my narrator guy is not on the radio.
And Nick is not going to help you fall asleep, let me tell you. Because when I wake up to Nick DiGilio,
he's yelling.
And he's, he's usually yelling. And I jump out of bed. So he is the best waker-upper, I tell you. I am out of bed in 2.3 seconds and turning off my alarm.
Wow, Mary's all over the show this morning.
How serendipitous.
At least that was nice.
No, that was nice. I appreciate that.
And you do wake me up every morning.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'm never late.
See? No, you know, it's what's really weird. If you're not here at 4:30, when I look up in this, up at the screen here in the camera that's in the traffic room, if you're not here at 4:30, I get a little nervous, and then inevitably it's a replacement who's here.
Well, thanks for coming to check on me in the garage where I was trying to buff out my car.
I should have checked out. I was too busy.
I was stuck in a cement block.
I was too busy yelling into the microphone.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad you listened, Mayor. Okay. All right. Next.
Last one here. Not featuring Mary Vandevelde.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So this is a mention, again, on the Bill and Wendy show with Steve Bertrand.
Who doesn't like a warm nut?
Everyone does. It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, Nick DiGilio. Take it. I don't care. I am so sick of being part of that show.
They don't even call it Nick's show anymore. No, it's just you. It's the best of Wendy.
Wendy Snyder.
Straight out of context.
With Nick DiGilio.
Yep.
I'm just not talking.
So she hates my show.
I think she's just a little bit bashful
about being
featured so much. Wendy, if you want to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll save them for later.
She hates my show. Doesn't she know that I just won an award last night?
You're now on an award-winning radio show.
I won an award last night. I won the Silver Dome Award from the Illinois Broadcasters Association for Best Radio Personality. And I'm not making that up. I won that.
That is awesome news.
Yeah, I did. I won the Silver Dome Award for Best
Radio. Some good news for once this morning.
And WGN won Best Station. Ryan Burrow won Best News Reporter.
Wow,
yeah, we did really well, but I won Best Radio Personality.
Woohoo!
Ridiculous.
That's so cool.
Wow. I paid him off. I got Felicity Huffman to... to show up with some cash.
Oh, Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky
was around.
Aunt Becky, too. All right. Okay, well, we'll do that again next week, which Nick D. So Spies. That's all coming up. Let's break here. We got the weather. Now, do you want to do the intro now? Can you do the intro now?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Yeah, this is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, Duffy getting down.
The guy has the greatest voice
one of
I've
the greatest,
ever heard.
One of the greatest voices of all time. And he also does amazing production work, and he's also a very cool dude.
Genius.
Yep. All right, well, there you go. It's Fly Jams Friday, 312-981-7200. We got some requests, right?
Full of them.
All right, there you go. We'll take a break for the weather, a little break, and then we come back. Luscious Hushus will be here. Viggity, viggity, Vic, verified double V, run around like a lunatic in the newsroom. I'm Wiki, Wiki, Nikki, and then we'll get the Fly Jams going after this.
All night, these games, people are playing. Playing ball, off the wall, with my head. The man promised me a ring. Who's gonna raise me when I'm dead?
watching that clock every day.
Working every day.
Okay, skating on thin ice.
Yeah. Fly Jam Friday begins. Shall we, let's get the introduction to DJ Luscious Hushes.
Ooh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
Yeah. All right, Luscious Hushes, who requested that?
So that was our good pal Dino. Wanted
Dino.
To hear T.S. Monk, Bon Bon V.
Yeah, that's a funky song.
A very funky song.
Fly Jams Friday is here. Coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right there, Luscious Hushes, what's next?
All right, next up, coming to us from Steve, it's Foxy with Get Off.
Love that song. I love that song. That's fly as hell right there. Oh, man.
Super fly.
I love that song. All right. Fly Jams Friday continues. Who's our next request?
All right. Should I try to do like the radio DJ voice?
If you want.
Hey. And we're back.
And we're back.
Coming to us all the way from the 773. This is Candy by Cameo. I love this track.
It's the same feeling I always seem to get a run down. There's no mistaking, I'm clearly taken by the simple dear thought of you. This stuff is starting now. This stuff is starting now.
Super funky.
Yes, I do. That's giving me a heart attack. That's the great Larry Blackmon.
Oh yeah,
with his high top fade and his red cod piece. You can't. Nobody else in funky music like Larry Blackmon giving me a heart attack. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's too good, Nick.
He's
I love
the best.
That.
He's the best. All right, there you go. A little cameo for you.
Mm-hmm.
Dean did not like Men in Black. Shocker.
Oh.
All right, next.
All right, next up on the big WGN, it's the return of the Mac coming to us from Mike in Old Irving Park.
Very fly. Very fly. Dean gave The Dead Don't Die a B-, by the way.
Wow.
Gave it a B-. I'm surprised. I thought he would hate it.
Yeah.
So that's a little...
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Fly Jams. Friday continues. What do we got?
All right. Next up, Ray Charles with a very classic one. Nighttime is the Right Time.
Yeah.
That's coming to us from Pat.
All right.
You know the nighttime now.
Holiday.
Is the right time.
Holiday.
To be.
Holiday.
With the one you love now.
Holiday.
And now, oh, baby.
Holiday.
And now, come on, baby.
Holiday.
I want to be the one I love now.
Holiday.
You know what I'm thinking of.
Holiday.
I know the nighttime.
That's appropriate for this shift. Yeah. All right. That wraps up the Fly Jams Friday for this week. We'll do it again next week, so get your Fly Jams ready to go. And as always, your requests are at 312-981-7200. All right. Well, I want everybody to have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And thank you guys all for all the congratulations that I've been receiving all morning about the award. I appreciate it, and I'm humbled by it all. And we'll be back Monday morning with all the movie reviews. And my dad will call in and tell a joke, plus more.